B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah, Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli, Mike. 97.5, we live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time, 2 to 6, Mikey Miss. 97.5, no matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him, but never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about ball, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fadeaway from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lightsaber caught him. Top shelf, A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk author, Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike Missinelli.
Yeah, Larry Stevens. It's the Friday Jam, Smooth Jam, Mike Missinelli Show on a Football Friday, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And we got to get down to the nitty-gritty here with a couple of our squads who are on life support. So let's start with the Eagles. Yes, life support. I never thought that they could lose the Cincinnati Bengals. The line is chipping down as we speak. And it's because of injury. Fletcher Cox not going to play, and the Eagles are all banged up, the offensive line. So the oddsmakers are saying that the Bengals have a chance in this game. It's 4.5 right now, Tyrone. 4.5 at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's a simple formula to win this game. I mean, it can't get any simpler. The Bengals can't stop the run. Now, we've seen this time and time again where you go, okay, this team doesn't do it. It's usually the Bengals, too, for some reason. I mean, in an Andy Reid game where the Bengals can't stop the run, and so they passed 60 times, was it?
Yep.
Yes, it was 60 times they threw the ball that day. So I don't know what Doug Peterson is going to do. I can only suggest that maybe it would be a good game plan to be run-centric in this game. They're the 30th ranked rushing defense in the NFL, the Bengals. They've given up 370 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. And they gave up 215 last week to the Cleveland Browns. Traditionally, they're bad against the run. Now, when you're starting guards in this game that are a little more inexperienced, I would think that plays into it as well. That if your offensive line is a little shaky, I guess the way to cure him is the easiest thing to do is you run the ball and let him just plow people rather than have to think about pass blocking and blitzes and schemes and all that kind of thing. So we will see what happens in this game. Carson Wentz, if they run the ball, is not going to be called on to make the heroic plays that he's been trying to make in the first two games. I sit here and I go, it is so logical. If you run the ball, you're helping out your quarterback. If you run the ball, chances are you're going to have success. If you run the ball, chances are you're going to help your offensive line to run the ball. And it seems like a no-brainer. Now, that said, they'll probably throw it. Because I don't know. And now when it comes to Carson Wentz. So since here's the good news. I think it's good news. I don't know if it is or not, because I can't believe that he actually said this. He said, after playing probably his two worst games maybe as an Eagle quarterback, I'm as confident in myself and this team as I've ever been. Now, I think it's nice that he's trying to convince himself of that, but let's face it, that's not the truth. we do have that audio. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those lines where you go, I'm as confident as I've ever been. Well, you're not, all right? Because if you were, you would have played a lot better in the first two games. And frankly, how could you be confident in this team? Especially defensively, this team is not good. And we expected that that would be a staple. So when you dig into this game, do you actually think the Eagles can lose the game? I don't. I just don't think they can lose this game. So you do, Tyrone.
Yeah.
And so... the Eagles would seem to have an edge if they run the ball. So why don't you think they're going to win this game?
Because it's harder to run the ball if your defense is giving up a bunch of points.
And I don't have any
faith. So you don't trust in the defense?
Not one bit. Not at all.
So it's not an offensive problem for you in this game. It's not a defensive problem.
Yes, in this game. Yes, I think Wentz is going to be better. I don't have proof, obviously. Uh-huh. I think Wentz is going to be better. But who's he throwing to exactly?
He's not throwing to anybody. That's why they have to run the ball 50 right. times.
So
it's another reason that you run the ball. Because J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to play a big role, they say.
Right. So let's say they lose the toss or whatever it is they defer. And Bengals come down. Boom, 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 boom. 7-0. Maybe you run then.
Uh-huh.
Then they get the ball back. Boom, 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 boom. A.J. Green, touchdown. 14-3. Not going to run the ball then. And now you got to pass to just tight ends, Deshaun, and a bunch of mutts. And for that reason, now I think they absolutely can lose. That's my thing. Carson has taken, as he should have, all the heat. But he's not the only problem. This defense so far has stunk, and it stunk against Washington, too. I know the short fields. You could have mixed in holding them to a field goal. Mm-hmm. They didn't they can't.
But there's another stat. See, two factors here on your point. All right, Burrow has played well the first couple of games, but we ran that stat yesterday where he hasn't played well against nickel and dime.
Right.
Now, that's what Schwartz likes to do. He likes to nickel and dime them.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be out there looking and seeing many defensive backs. And for a young quarterback, that's going to be hard to adjust to. Besides that, they really haven't run the ball. Even though they have Mixon, they really haven't run the ball that well. He's only averaging like 3 yards a carry, Joe Mixon.
Right.
So I got to think that both the offense and defense plays right into Cincinnati's hands. Like, the Eagles had the edge offensively, and they had the edge defensively, even though they haven't played well, because this defensive coordinator has been around for a really long time, and you got to figure that he knows how to stop a rookie quarterback at the very least.
I used to think that. He couldn't stop one in week one, hold him to field goals against Washington. He couldn't do that. And you know what else? I believe that there might be
But he didn't do that because of the short fields. That's different.
Maybe. I don't know.
A factor.
I think, but see, we assumed that, if the fields were short and if they had to go longer, uh-huh. the defense would have stopped them. Unfortunately, they didn't demonstrate any of that in the Rams game.
Yeah.
So that's still an assumption that I will not make until I see it with my own eyes.
Uh-huh. All right.
And the other thing is, I think there might be some bad passes that those receivers actually catch. Because in Philadelphia, we have learned that if the pass is off at all, even if it hits the guy's hands, he cannot allow to catch it. Because when some of those off-target throws hit Deshaun or Miles Sanders in his hands and they failed to bring it in. I believe that Boyd and A.J. Green catch bad balls. So he might not be sharp against the Eagles' defense, but those receivers catch things that are in their radius. Eagles' receivers, it must be perfect. And I think that's another problem.
Okay. I can't dispute that. But now if we look at the whimsical side here, because now let's bring in the Phillies with this. So if you pay attention to the results last night, the Marlins won, the Giants lost. So the Giants loss absolutely helps the Phillies. The Marlins winning puts them a game up on the Phillies for that automatic spot, the second place spot in National League East. So it comes down to tonight, Vince Velasquez in a must-win situation. Now, you feel a little more comfortable with Wheeler and Nola, although they haven't delivered, and they're 0-4 in their last couple starts, right? So, Vince Velasquez tonight has to win the game, or their season is likely over. Now, is it possible that this is one of those dream sequence weekends where both Vince Velasquez and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, out of the blue, come through? Because we're due something, right? We have been in misery. Yeah. Something, we are owed something good to happen, and that would be in that category. Like, unexpected, good, refreshing thing to have happen to Philadelphia sports. Velasquez, J-Jaw. How you feel?
You know what? I wore my Philly shirt today because I thought this might be the last time I get to wear a Philly shirt if the season does end this weekend.
Yep.
You know what? We are owed something.
Right. That the odds on both of them doing, really, it's a pipe dream, basically, what I'm talking about. But aren't we due a pipe dream?
We are. We deserve it. And it would be nice. Velasquez, you mentioned before the show that Velasquez is coming off his best start of the season.
Yes. And that's why they're most likely pitching him tonight instead of with the Boone plan, which was to give the guys short rest and win the games that you are must-win games with your best guys.
Right.
And don't take a chance with Velasquez.
Right. But he has been missing bats. That is a skill that's important. Like, he's never been able to do it consistently, but he's doing it right now. And Ortega Whiteside, there's no place to go but up. What, like, he had confidence allegedly during training camp. The team's back's against the wall. The coach is trying to inject him with confidence, like just got a syringe, and he's squeezing that bag into him of IV of confidence into him. You know what? It could happen.
All right, there you go. So there's the glimmer of hope. Relying on guys that normally aren't going to deliver hope. But I think the Eagles win the game because I think it's a simple formula for them to win the game, and they're at least up to that. The Phillies, I don't know. I was on the record yesterday saying if this guy gets through six innings, I'm going to do a headstand. So we'll see what happens.
I'm looking forward to it.
You're telling me, right, as we go into the break, you're saying that you don't think the Eagles will win.
I don't think the Eagles will win, though.
Natalie, do you think the Eagles win Sunday?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so,
I think Carson,
so
I'm still banking.
I guess we got to take the temperature of the fans. I think this is the perfect storm for the Eagles to win the game based on the weaknesses and strengths of the other team. I hope I don't get fooled. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Messinelli Show. That's how you get in. It's Football Friday, so Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. And we're going to rock your calls. Eagles, Phillies are on the board. We'll talk about it after this.
The Mike Messinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hour. Mike Messinelli Show. It's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating, cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's Carroll locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Do that today. Let's start our Twitter poll. Paul B. Moyer and Sons brings us a Twitter poll. If you're looking for a new mower, zero ton, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Just order online at paulbmoyer.com. Or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup at their shop in Doylestown. Natalie, today's Twitter poll.
Thanks, Mike. Over 100 votes on this one early. The Eagles need contribution. The Eagles and Phillies need contributions from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Vince Velasquez. Will they step up to the plate? 6% say yes to both. 8% say yes to Arcega-Whiteside. 26% say yes to Velasquez. And 60% say neither.
Yeah, that's optimism. Right there. See, this is the state of misery that we're in.
See, just
neither of them. They're bums.
They stink.
Here's where it worked out so poorly. Let's say it was Wheeler tonight, Nola tomorrow, and Vinny on Sunday. You would think, okay, well, it's the last day of the year. It's all hands on deck. But the problem is, He has to manage like it's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
But but there is a tomorrow. There's two more games he has to win as well.
So it's got to be all hands on deck tonight, and then you leave yourself with nothing left for the next two games.
And that's tough. That's a tightrope to walk on, because if he blows it tonight, tomorrow and Sunday don't matter.
Yeah. All right, but get ready to be happy. Okay?
What?
Get ready to be happy.
Why?
Because we're going to the playoff percentages now.
Oh.
All right.
They got a little bit of help.
Giants lost last night.
Yeah.
The Brewers lost last night. The Phillies have vaulted ahead of the Giants' percentage to make the playoffs. Now, I don't know how they're extrapolating the data. The Phillies are 50.9% chance to make the playoffs. The Giants are 46.6% to make the playoffs. The Reds are locked. Yeah. So the Reds are going to be one of the wild card. The Reds or the Cardinals are going to be one of the wild card. Only one wild card left. It's between the Phillies and the Giants.
Well,
unless the Marlins fall apart in the Phillies sweep, in which case they could get the second spot.
And New York's never done us any favors, though. So, you know what? Why not? Crazier things have happened.
The Giants are the team that you're contending with here. And right now, the ESPN percentages say the Phillies have the edge. And I assume they have the edge because at least they have two really good starting pitchers going on Saturday and Sunday. And the Giants probably don't.
Yeah. There it is. All right.
There you go.
I got a little good exactly. Mojo going. I need some good mojo going into this weekend, building hopefully to a crescendo of two victories on Sunday.
Crescendo.
Yeah, nice. Crescendo, yeah.
Yeah, that's already nice. Musical term. He popped out.
Yeah, it's a fun word.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to phones. Aaron in Norristown. What's up, Aaron?
Michael, how are you this afternoon? Happy Friday.
Thank you. You too, bud.
Thank you, sir. So I'm really going to be optimistic with Carson because we really don't have any other choice. He is our quarterback, and I'm hoping the Eagles, and I believe that they will win. And hopefully he will mimic the prior number two overall quarterback we drafted in Donovan, who, if you remember, in year five in 2003, his first two games, he was actually performing worse than Carson, and we wound up going to the NFC Championship that game. He was, I think, 0-2, had like 11 sacks in his first two games with three picks at a 41 passer rating. So if Donovan can do it, why can't Carson do it in his fifth year? Same exact fifth year.
Okay.
Well, it's one reasonable parallel.
I don't know, his team, Donovan's team might have been a little better than this one, but, you know.
Donovan might have been a little bit better.
Might have been a little better coached.
Yeah, true. But hey, I'm trying to be positive, Mike.
Okay.
So, hey, you know what? Today's a great day in Philadelphia rock history. 1981, 1982, and 1987. On this date, three historic bands played at JFK. Can you name those three concerts?
No. Sorry.
The Stones, The Who, and you two who brought Bruce Springsteen up to sing.
Is that right?
In 87. That was the Joshua Tour tree. Tour.
Yeah, and, I didn't go to any of those concerts.
I went to all three. And in 82, when The Who showed up, Mick actually showed up just to hang out and watch The Who play.
In 1981, it was Journey
and George Thorogood warmed up for the Stones.
Look at you, man. Musical historian. Now, I would have only gone all to see one of those concerts. I would have gone to see The Who if I had to.
It was a tremendous concert. Actually, the Stones concert, the sound was horrible, but JFK was an epic place to see a show.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I've never been a Stones guy.
Well, it is what it is. A great all-time band. So, yeah. Carson, going back to Carson, I mean, Michael, you play baseball. Throwing a ball is the same with your body as a baseball or a football. Your bottom outside leg will determine where the ball goes. And why he opens up is why the ball goes high. So I hope somebody's coaching him up because I looked at the tape, watched the game again, and every one of his high throws, he is opening up on his left side.
Yeah.
So hopefully somebody will change that. It's just like throwing a baseball from third base.
Look at you, man. That was exactly the analysis from Dan Orlovsky, who was a big fan of Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And Orlovsky said there's a lot of reasons quarterbacks miss throws, but watching Carson on tape, there's a recurring theme with his misses, and all his misses are high. Carson is a big guy, and when big quarterbacks strain, when they try so hard throwing the football, they often become overextended. That forces the left leg to become straight. If you could think of an upside-down V, that's what it looks like when he's throwing the football right now. When that leg straightens out, that ball is just going to go high. It's just physics.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And I wonder if Aaron got that from Orlovsky.
He probably did.
It and being on the air here, or if he did it from watching the tape.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't get out of here.
Aaron could have cheated. there.
You think?
I'm thinking it might be.
Yeah, you know, I just know the physics.
Yeah,
he don't stop
he
it.
Copied off somebody else's paper.
A little plagiarizer. Orlovsky should sue him. He actually did call somebody out in real life, Orlovsky. In all seriousness, he called somebody out. Somebody's taking his analysis and using it at another place and not giving him credit for it. It's bothering him.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he was talking to Aaron, but he might have been.
Yeah. Speaking of cheating, and this girl in high school, she was hot too. She pulled a cheat sheet out of her drawers.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like right out. Like
See how Natalie said that?
In the front. Wait, have you done that?
Well, no, but I used to write the answers on my leg.
Well, you wore skirts.
Yes.
Right?
That's why.
Yeah. This girl had jeans on, and in the front, she pulled this. I mean, it was a monster cheat sheet. It was like tucked in there, like a whole sheet of paper.
How'd the teacher not see?
She was in like the back rows. I saw her.
She was your girlfriend?
No.
Oh.
No, she wasn't my girlfriend.
You didn't snitch, did you?
No. No, I didn't snitch. She was a bad student.
Oh, okay. Oh, so she wasn't up to par for you?
No. She was like, at that age, everybody's up to par. You're not making any judgments there.
I don't want the girl to have the cheat sheet in her pants.
She was a little wacky.
Wonder where she is now.
She pulled the cheat sheet out, and I don't know. I guess she did okay. But she found a strategic spot.
Yeah.
She had the desk here
underneath,
and she pulled the cheat sheet right out.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. Like, I never cheated in school, but I respected. I had enough respect for those that did that I'm not going to be in there telling. Because kids, it's wrong to cheat.
It is.
It's also wrong to snitch.
It is. I shouldn't have.
Don't go telling on somebody.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have cheated, but Latin was tough.
Girl was she was stoner, and I think she went elsewhere other than just the marijuana.
Oh.
She's a little freaky, the girl.
Yeah.
But she was hot.
Unfortunately, fortunately, if you decide to lean on that, it can also take you places.
Yeah, like, I don't think a high school boy puts the freaky part in the equation.
No.
When you're in high school.
Well.
I mean.
It doesn't really matter.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It depends. You kind of.
There are probably some guys that do.
Yeah, I wasn't playing that.
Well, you're a righteous man.
No, I wasn't. So, I mean, I was wrong. Like, looking back on it, I regret having that attitude. Because it cost me a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I did have that attitude.
I still remember her name.
What was her name?
What was her name?
I don't know if I should put her last
just
name.
The first
no, just
name.
Her first name. Her
first name was Susan. I think she actually is deceased now.
Oh.
Pour out a little for Susan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she had the drug problem.
Oh. That's unfortunate.
Let's go. Anthony in Mantua. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Yo, what up?
What's going on, Anthony?
Not much. I wanted to get in about the Eagles, what's going to happen this Sunday.
All right, tell me what you think.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Like, as much as I want to see the Eagles win on Sunday, I got a feeling that Cincinnati is going to squeak by on this one.
Really?
Absolutely.
Tell me why. Tell me why you're so down right now on the Eagles that they wouldn't be able to beat this team.
Well, let's see. The last time that the Eagles did face Cincinnati, that was 2016, and that was Carson Wentz's rookie year. And that was also Carson Wentz's, one of his, like, worst games that he ever played in that season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but it's completely it's 4 years down the road now. I mean, that game has nothing to do with this one.
That's true. I'm just trying to think, just thinking of, like, what happened in the past. But I guess the past is past, and right now is...
Look at the matchups. Let's look at the matchups, right? We already know that the Bengals are horrible against the run. The Eagles have a running back. He was pretty reliable running back, right? Played pretty well last week, Miles Sanders, except for that fumble to game 7.
I believe in Miles Sanders, definitely.
All right, so there you go. If the Bengals can't stop the run and they're 30th in the league, then you run the ball, you'll have offensive success, no? And then the need for Carson to make these fantastic monster plays isn't there. He just has to make regular plays. Because then you're controlling the clock, you're methodically getting the ball down the field. you throw a pass in the corner of the end zone, like a 15-yarder. You know, that kind of an easy touchdown. You see what I'm saying here? Am I convincing you at all?
You're somewhat convincing me. I was also gonna ask another question too. I actually tried to get in here on a couple days ago, like after the Eagles went 0-2, and considering that point right now, considering that the Eagles are 0-2 at this very moment, the last time they went 0-2, that was the 2015 season, and that was also the year where Chip Kelly was fired after that season. And the question is, like, if the Eagles have like a horrid year, miss the playoffs, like, do you think somebody's going to pay for it?
No.
No.
I do not think. I think everybody is safe. I think they're on the same page. I think the owner still thinks the general manager is doing a good job. I think they're not going to fire a coach who won a Super Bowl three years ago. And I think that they are in their mind and are going to make a transition to another quarterback within 2 years.
Well, that's all I wanted to get on about, what the prediction and ask the question if history is going to repeat itself as far as somebody.
Yeah, I don't think history has anything to do with games. Trends of past years, that to me that doesn't really mean anything to me. I look at two things. Number one, there's a simple game plan that you play against this team. You don't have to stay up with the midnight oil here, you know.
Yeah,
to figure out what you need to do in this game. And secondly, there's no way a rookie quarterback is going to have continued success. Eventually, you get a guy on tape, and now he's had two games on tape. This defensive coordinator, if you like him or not, he's an experienced defensive coordinator who should be able to figure out how to mess this kid up. And the plan to mess him up is to go nickel and dime coverage and hope that your front four can get there. Now, the front four hasn't been getting there, so, you know, that's a deterrent to that. But still, even if he has time, if he looks out there and he sees a lot of defensive backs, a guy like that, that's where he'll start to get with the, you know, stay close to himself. Where he, you know, I haven't seen this before, you know, because he's not used to seeing it.
Yeah, it would be nice if they can get a first, if they could force a turnover in the first half. Since they forced none so far. Sanders did give it to him, but it'd be nice. Maybe they can knock a ball out on Nixon.
Yes.
Maybe they can get a strip sack or get an interception. Something like that, I would think very different early in the game.
Yeah.
But since they should have been able to get a turnover in one of these 2 weeks, and they haven't been able to, I don't have faith. I think I'm more down on Swartz than I realized.
Yeah.
He
seemed to be.
Pushing Malcolm Jenkins out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think that there's a karma effect after that. Oh, he doesn't do it your way, and your way's right. And then you get all the players you want, they can do it your way, and then your defense stinks. Huh, maybe you should have went with the other guy's way.
Believe it or not, I don't think they can possibly lose this game. I think it's a solid, easy dub.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think they're due to play one good game here. I'm not saying that they're going to come back and be a good team, but I think in this circumstance, I think there's a lot of factors in their favor. So we'll see. Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Mike. How you doing today, buddy?
What's going on, pal?
Oh, so just I'm surprised I'm actually calling about this, but I wanted to actually talk a little bit about the Phillies.
Okay. I got the lineup for this big game right in front of me.
Okay. You want to say or
no, go ahead. No, tell me your. Okay. I'll say it later. I'll save the suspense for people.
Okay, so basically, I haven't really followed them too much this season. You know, basically, from what I know is that the bullpen has let a lot of games slip away, and the frustration is there. So, my question to you is: should I really invest myself in watching this game tonight? And,
oh, yeah, you have to.
Well, yeah,
what's the peril? Are you going to be disappointed if they lose? Even if they lose, they're still, you know, the season's not over.
They still have a chance even if they lose tonight, too. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this game has drama at least, right? Yeah, they may disappoint you in the end, but it has drama. They're going to bring it to the table.
Yeah, I would hope so, and I'm hoping that Tampa, you know, not so much as far as I know that they're not really playing for much, and that the Yankees are playing for a little bit more. I think Tampa pretty much has the number one seed locked up for the most part, whereas Tampa is still playing for that fourth seed. Or, I mean, the Yankees are still playing for that fourth seed, so
yeah. Well,
I like the Yankees' chances.
I get you. Jay Happ is pitching against Sandy Alcantara tonight.
Who?
Yeah, Alcantara. He's their ace.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, Jay Happ has been really flimsy lately. But the Yankees are a minus 190 favorite tonight.
Wow.
And the Phillies are not favored. In fact, they are an under. Tampa Bay is minus 150. Charlie Morton against Velasquez.
Yeah, well, that's
so there you go. That's not a stat that's going to make you, you know, gooey. Yeah, and Charlie Morton usually has their number. He's a pretty good pitcher. So yeah, you're back in Vince Velasquez tonight to beat Charlie Morton and the Rays with Tampa, a minus 150 favorite.
Yeah, I mean, you need to go grab another six pack then.
All right. So, and here's our lineup tonight, which is really interesting. They got this bat in the lineup playing right field. Jay Bruce, and that's because Jay Bruce has hit 3 home runs lifetime against Charlie Morton. All right, that's something good. So tonight's lineup, McCutchen, Bohm, Harper is DHing. Realmuto is playing first base tonight. Didi, Segura, Bruce, Knapp, and as a personal insult to Tyrone, Jetpacks and no Haseley. Jetpacks is your center fielder tonight.
That's, you know what? He's managing to lose. That's all right. That's his business.
It's amazing to me that Joe Girardi could dislike Haseley that much to start a guy batting .150 in center field.
And who's also inferior defensively as well.
Yeah.
And there might be some balls hit to the outfield with Velasquez pitching that you might have to run down some balls in center field.
What is his love with Kingery? He clearly doesn't like Haseley, but what's he love right now about Kingery?
I don't know. I think he has a soft spot for guys. You know what? I don't know. Because I like to think he's a straight down the middle guy, but maybe Haseley didn't kiss up to him as much as Jetpacks. Hey, Skip, what do you think, Skip? Hey, the guy, Skip, like, it doesn't make sense baseball-wise, so I got to think.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Doesn't make sense.
Other than, listen, you know how I feel about Haseley. He's a fourth outfield, but in this circumstance, you can't. You're going to start a right-handed center fielder hitting .150? That doesn't make any sense to me. Now, that's a move that would have got Kapler killed.
Yep. Now, maybe Jetpacks comes up in the second inning, two outs, and hits a home run.
Unless Haseley's hurt. Maybe he's hobbled still. He got hit with that pitch in the Achilles tendon area.
And he's been playing sparingly since. It doesn't make sense, and it troubles me. But maybe you're right. Maybe you're right that he's, but I would think, oh, well, Jetpacks has some pop, but he hasn't demonstrated any pop this season.
He's hit a couple of home runs lately. In the last week.
You better hit one tonight.
Two home runs.
You better hit one tonight. But look at your defense out there. With Bruce in right field, I don't love having.
And Kingery, you're right. It's not that good. McCutcheon's no bargain either right now.
So you need your best center fielder, and your best defensive center fielder is Haseley right now.
Interesting lineup. Anyway, I can just tell you what it is. Charlie Morton is a good, solid pitcher.
He's not having a great year.
No, his ERA is a little up.
Yeah, but, he's not having a great year.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay, a solid minus 150 choice.
And
see what the Giants are tonight.
Jason Stark on Wednesday mentioned how big of a challenge the Phillies we know has to sweep. The Rays have lost 0 series at home. Let alone getting swept, they've lost no series at home so far this year. So the Phillies have to get them the one loser series and then also sweep them at home, which they haven't done at all year. So it's a challenge. And it starts with Vinny's arm and Jetpack. All right. Okay. I'm still trying to keep the mojo going, but it doesn't help me.
Giants are in a doubleheader today with the Padres.
Maybe they lose both.
Well, we'll see. Let's go. We'll take a break. We'll take a break. Chris will be up next. 610-622-0975. That's how you pop in. Mike Missinelli Show's back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's 2:44 on the Mike Mussinelli Show. The team was out last night on town a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a great place, by the way. And I want to thank the great people there at Engine, what was 48?
Steak 48.
Steak, I'm sorry. What did I say?
That was where my birthday party was.
Engine.
That
was the last time that's right. I got to get that mixed up. It was Steak 48, new steakhouse.
Yeah.
And on Broad there, that took over that Ruth's Chris space.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful place inside.
Isn't it stunning?
Yeah, it was very stunning.
It was really nice. A seafood tower.
Yeah, you guys ordered the seafood tower.
That was something.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah, it was really something. I'm feeling it from last night. I got to be honest with you.
Sorry, it's our fault.
Yeah, I usually hit it as hard as hit it last night. It was a bourbon night.
You said the Negronis were good.
They were fantastic. They were Negronis. They were old fashioned.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Now
it didn't hit me until I get home. And when I got home, boom. So it was like I had two old fashions and a late night bourbon.
Yeah.
We did a bottle of wine at dinner.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem like a lot, but that bourbon kicked the living crap out of me last night.
Yeah, it beat you up. The wine, I was very careful. Natalie and you guys had a little bit more than I had.
Yeah, you were being careful. And I got home, I went, ooh. And it's just like... I go, now I'm hungry.
Wait,
because you know how you get that hunger going?
Yeah, I heard.
Do you hear what he did?
Well, go ahead and tell people, Mike.
I made a pizza last night and I ate it at midnight.
From scratch?
From scratch.
With the dough and everything.
I didn't have it. Like, normally, like, you'll make a sandwich or something. I don't have any bread in my house.
Okay.
I try to stay away from bread. I don't have any wraps. So I didn't have anything to make a sandwich with. But what I had was flour, yeast, a can of whole tomatoes, some tomato paste, some sausage, and a hunk of cheddar cheese.
I just can't believe that you whipped a pizza from scratch. Like, yeah. It's not even like you just had the dough lying around.
Yeah.
You made the dough.
It's not that hard. Put all the stuff in there, and you get the ball going. You knead it a little bit with one flour on a thing.
You throw it up in the air.
You just let it sit for a little bit. Let the yeast take over. No, I don't throw it. I roll it out actually, and then you got that done. You throw it on there, and meanwhile, I got the sauce cooking over here. I got the sausage grilling over here. You know, I get the sausage put in the food processor, sprinkle it on, get the sprinkled cheese on. Boom, 400 degree oven.
Yeah.
20 minutes, and I got food.
I mean, that's impressive, but... All right.
It's just...
Well, that's all I have. Midnight, what are my options?
I don't know, some chips and salsa or something?
I didn't have any. I didn't have chips or salsa. I didn't have any snack stuff at all.
Okay.
And I was, like, ultra, like, hungrier than a snack mode.
Right.
You know, I needed something of substance.
Even though we had that great meal
not long
prior.
We had a great meal, but this was, like, later on. And, you know, the alcohol makes you hungry.
Right.
It makes you crave protein.
Just can't believe you whipped it up from scratch.
Yeah,
it's so impressive.
I did whip it up. I had half of it left, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You can have it for dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I might take a little slice.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, that's something I got to bring up from social media later, where regarding Joel Embiid's child.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to hear Mike and Natalie's reaction to this particular statement a little later on in the program.
Uh-huh, okay.
It's like a life question about priorities,
mm-hmm.
and where you guys, individually, everybody's different, would place certain things in their priority list.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that in 3 o'clock hour. Let's go, Chris in Lehigh Valley. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Chris?
Doing well, Mike. Mike, I know you remember Mike McMahon. And
the worst quarterback in Eagle history.
And that's right. And the reason
the pride of Rutgers University.
That's right. And the reason I bring him up is, you know, in the great book of Philadelphia Sports List, you had a comment on him. He was number one. He may have been the, you know, I can't remember if that list was athletes, but I think it's time for Mike, you know, if that list was athletes, to slide from the number one spot down to the number two spot. And I think J.J. Arcega-Whiteside needs to replace him at number one.
Well, not quite yet. He's headed there.
On a team with no receivers, to start 19 games, have no catches in 11 of 19 games.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's still on the team. I really have no – I don't know why. When I hear you guys, the pipe dream of him scoring touchdowns, I mean – I mean, he can't do anything.
Wait, you're jumping the gun because he apparently is going to have a bigger role on Sunday. So you'll have more data to judge him. You know what I'm saying? He may surprise you. We're counting on the unlikeliest duo to go into this big weekend that I can think of. Velasquez and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah, no.
And you're not feeling it, are you?
No, I mean, I think we've got plenty of data, to be honest with you.
He's got to be in there now. Like, he can't hide. Like, he can't hide as a substitute player. He's now in there. So the snaps he's going to play are that. This is it. This is the game where we find out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when somebody needs to tell Doug Peterson last year that, hey, listen, you need to pull Greg Ward off the practice team because nobody can cover him, and then he comes in and catches more balls than Whiteside in, like, three games, and Whiteside has in 15.
Yeah.
That's all you need to tell him. But to be honest, you know what the worst thing about Whiteside is? There's not five people on planet Earth, let alone in the NFL, who are more athletic than DK Metcalf. And how the scouting report passed on him from his combine, to me, is the worst part about Whiteside. I mean, Metcalf is like the LeBron James freak of the NFL that got passed.
Yeah, they thought he was too muscly.
That's kind of my point, because that makes no sense for an NFL player.
Well, they looked at, he's too muscly. He's not going to be flexible. He's not going to have good hands because of that. That's what the rap was.
You're only too muscly.
He was banged up, I thought, in college.
I mean, you're only too muscly, but when you're running a 4.4, I mean, I think the muscles, you know, need to, I think you might be able to pass on that. But anyways, real quick, I think Wentz is a gamer, and just like he proved at the end of last season, when he needed to win the games, the last four he did, and I think he's a gamer and knows that we're playing a rookie, and I think it's all leading the way for him to have a good game for us to win. Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. I think that, like, I don't have any worries about this game. I really don't. And probably I should, but I don't. Now, he brought up Mike McMahon, who, for my money, was the worst Eagle quarterback ever. And I don't mean to rip into him because he was an NFL player. But he started 2005, I believe, for the Eagles. And he was 2-5. This is 2005 now. 2-5. His completion percentage was 45.4. 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He was horrible.
Yeah.
They got him from Detroit, I think.
Yes. He had played 4 years in Detroit. And after one of the wins, and this is where people had it out for 5.
I'm embarrassed.
After one of his wins, there were people who were calling sports talk radio talking about how he could be a replacement. Kind of like...
Because 5 was hurt?
5 was hurt.
Okay, so that's why he started.
Yep, 5 was hurt. And then there were people who actually, just similar to Henry Sims, was going to push Embiid for minutes.
Yeah.
Mike McMahon, you know, after one of his 2 wins, he might be better than 5, like you are. And those people are still floating around the atmosphere, and
they're still talking
about sports. Like, should have... If anybody had said that, you're right, Mike, he is the worst quarterback ever.
He really was.
You should have to turn in your sports card.
We suffered watching him play. I can't think of anybody any worse in Eagle history. I really can't.
I remember somebody who was in media had a show weekly and had him on to honor him. for a great victory. And that person gets checks.
Who did he beat?
I'd have to look at the game log. I can look at the game log from that year. Let's see who he beat.
I remember watching him go, this guy doesn't do anything. He's got no skill.
He was not a good player. Who did he beat?
I'm looking now.
I'm about to see what he did in those games to win the games.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come up on the other side. We're open for business here. There's a couple open lines at 610-622-0975. I believe the Eagles will have no problem winning this game. It's a simple game plan. Natalie thinks they'll win. Tyrone is thinking they're going to lose a close one to the Cincinnati Bengals, to a rookie quarterback, to a team that can't stop the run. It's impossible for them to lose this game. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour on a Friday, a Football Friday, brought to us by AAA, wherever the open road takes you. Take AAA. And of course, the 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit as good. You know where Corpley's is in the Norristown area, great place. All right, to review, I don't believe the Eagles can lose this game. And here's what I'm putting faith in, though. I'm putting faith in a coach who can look at data and say, okay, we have to run the ball against this team because they can't stop the run. Now, I know I'm taking a major leap. I think it's kind of elemental that they play the game this way, which will make it easier on a struggling quarterback to also succeed, because if you're running the ball, then you could do a little play action off that run, and then you can grind out the clock, and maybe you don't need the big strike touchdown from the quarterback. You get the mini strike touchdown from the quarterback to a tight end once you get in the red zone, right? So to me, it's very elemental what they have to do in this game. Conversely, the rookie quarterback's put up good numbers when he's been in the pocket, when he's not playing against a lot of defensive backs. So if you're in a nickel or dime package, that has had an effect on Joe Burrow. I would think that Jim Schwartz is smart enough to figure that part of it out. So it's not like they have to come up with some sophisticated game plan to win this game. And I am saying they have enough of a pedigree to be able to win this game on their home field. You, however, are a little nervous about it.
Yeah, because I don't trust the defense. Okay. Carson is taking all the blows, as he should. Mm-hmm. The quarterback going to get more blame and going to get more credit.
Yeah.
But the defense has stunk. And they're probably going to be without Fletcher Cox. And I think he's going to be standing back there comfortable. And his receivers have proven in their careers that the ball can be off target, and they'll catch it anyway.
Yeah.
No one on the Eagles currently playing has demonstrated that they can catch an off-target throw. Mm-hmm. It has to be directly perfect or it's going to go on the ground.
Yeah.
And that's a concern of mine.
All right. And it's a valid concern. So now Eagle fans are, I think, feeling the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Eagle fans are confident. And why should they be? They witnessed two games where they go, this team's not even any good. So, like, how can I say they're going to beat the Bengals, even though the Bengals aren't supposed to be a great team in this league? After what I saw, what am I supposed to think of this team, the hometown team? So I get that part of it, but I think Eagle fans are laying back, and I want to hear why you feel this way or why you don't feel this way. If you feel like me or if you don't feel like me, then tell me what you think is going to happen in this game. I just think it's so fundamental, and I don't know.
I think there's one more element. There are a certain amount of fans. I know you think the number's small. I don't agree. that are rooting against the Eagles. They can't come on the radio and call you and tell you that. They have to wait till Monday to do the I told you shows. So, but they're rooting against the Eagles because they're rooting against Wentz. They've decided. That's out there. And I think it's out there in a large number.
Wentz has that many enemies out there.
Yep. Yep. And in a number of different ways. And the organization has set it up. The organization is waiting to throw him under the bus.
I got that part of it. But I don't think, like, fans look at it. I don't think that they are rooting against Wentz. They're not happy with him right now. But I don't think that they hate him.
They shouldn't be happy with him. He's been terrible.
No.
I'm talking about, I think there's a larger number than we're letting on that don't want him to turn it around.
Hmm.
Because if he gets a win, and then God forbid they win a couple, their plan of transitioning out of the quarterback gets put on hold because now he's the franchise quarterback again.
And it makes them look even more stupid for the decision.
You think they're on board with the transition to Hurts. So that's our theory, but I don't know if it's anybody else's theory.
I think not only are they on board with it, that in April, they decide. You remember when you came on Monday and all three of us were unanimous hating the pick. We got tons of pushback.
Oh, so much hate.
Tons of pushback.
People were so mad.
Well, we got pushback because they thought, well, we have to have a better backup. That's the rationale they were using. They weren't using the rationale like he was selected to be the guy eventually.
They were lying, Mike. They were in there going, all right, new toy. They were just like Howard. They have moved on from Wentz. And I'm telling you, there are people out there who are rooting against them, which is separate. I'll give you an example. Ortega Whiteside, he has stunk so far in his career. I hope that he has 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, and the best game of his life. I want him to succeed. I don't necessarily believe it, but I want him to succeed. I'm not rooting against J.J. Ortega Whiteside.
Yeah.
These people aren't saying, oh, Carson has been bad. I hope he's better. They're saying Carson has been bad. Get him out of here. Uh-huh. If they have to lose to get rid of him, let's lose. That's out there.
All right.
They're saying, let's lose now, get the switch over with, and then I'll root for the Eagles again when they have a new guy, because they're done with this guy.
Because they think he's injury prone and not good. Yeah.
I think the majority are done. I don't think the majority of Eagle fans are done with Carson.
66.666, because it's a devilish thing. 66.66666%, I think, are.
All right. Well, we'll see. Now, the Phillies. Here's the situation. The Marlins won last night. So they're a game ahead of the Phillies for the second spot, the automatic spot in National League East. However, for the wild card spot, the Phillies have moved ahead of the Giants percentage-wise to make the playoffs. Giants lost last night. Phillies are now 50.9% to make the playoffs. The Giants are now 46.6% to make the playoffs, and that would be the eighth and final spot. And tonight, though, the Phillies are an underdog, -150. Tampa Bay is favored in the game with Charlie Morton versus Vince Velasquez, who finds himself pitching in one of the most important games he'll ever pitch in. Is he up to the challenge?
I will say this out loud. I'm rooting for Vinny. I hope Vinny does 9 innings, 15 strikeouts, and a shutout, and the bullpen's all set up in case they need. I'm rooting for Vinny with all my might.
9 innings. Was he pitching 2 games? Two games he's got to pitch in? 9 innings.
I want him to go the distance.
Oh, yeah,
wait, what do we say? Six innings, and then Monday, Mike has to stand on his head on Monday.
Football Monday, Mike's standing on his head in there.
Six is one thing. 9?
I'm telling you what I'm rooting for.
I got to do some research into this. I don't think that guy's ever pitched 9 innings in his life. In the minor leagues, in high school, whatever.
I don't think
this guy's ever pitched 9 innings.
Well, I mean, he probably hasn't. Hasn't either. But I want him to.
I'm talking about in his life.
Like even in like the minor leagues or whatever.
I don't think he's ever pitched 9 innings.
I'll do some digging. Let me see if I can find it.
Let's go to Tyrone in West Philly. What's up, Tyrone?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Mike, would you please stop saying that? I can't see how the Eagles can lose this game.
I can't.
The way I can see them losing is every week the big brass sees the new prototype quarterback, I think they saying, I can't wait like Christmas Eve to open up my gifts, you know, so I can play with a brand new toy. But I think it's to the point where, whereas though, they don't want to see wins succeed.
Yeah, you think that the majority of the fan base does not want to see Wentz succeed?
No, the big brass don't.
Oh, the big brass. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I think they're in a holding pattern. It works for them either way. If Wentz succeeds and he turns into the franchise quarterback they thought, well, then they don't have to go through the transition, and they can use Hurts in another form.
Now, I believe that... That's not how the owner thinks. I think he always thinks that he has to be number one, the first one to have this. And he looks around and sees every week, he sees the new prototype quarterback. I don't care. I want this type of quarterback.
I believe that you're taking the right, because that's why I believe they think. But it's not within their control. They can't sabotage the guy. If the guy goes out and plays well, there's nothing they can do about that.
Yeah, but I believe that Doug wants to see him succeed. So I believe this week Doug might want to build up his confidence. And instead of running the ball, we play on a weak team. Let me see if my quarterback can throw for nearly 400 yards.
Yeah, but that's foolish. You believe Doug Peterson is foolish?
I know that's foolish.
I don't think he's foolish. I don't think he's the sharpest tack, but I don't think he's foolish. And he can look at a paper just like I can look at a paper and say, oh, they don't stop the run? I guess we should run.
And then another thing, I believe if they don't put pressure on this kid, that they're going to lose the game. And I can't see the defensive coordinator. We'll have no linebackers. Mm-hmm. Our guys can't cover that good. And if they don't put pressure on him, I don't believe they're going to win anyway.
All right. Well, you know, my man's totally down on him. I'd look at it. Listen, I of course they could lose to the Bengals. I'm looking at it fundamentally. And to me, they should be good enough to take advantage of Cincinnati's weaknesses and win the game. And the only thing that could prevent that is that the coaching staff will have messed up. And like I said, I don't believe that Doug Peterson can look at the numbers on this game and go, no, we're going to pass. I don't believe he's that obstinate or foolish. Oh, you?
Yes. Of course. And he's going to be out there.
There's a difference between being a numbskull and being foolish and ignoring a game plan that's self-evident.
Okay. First play from scrimmage, Eagles at the 25 after a touchback. Pass to the right side. The primary was J.J. Arcega-Whiteside off the hands. But the ball wasn't perfect, so it was another off-target throw from Carson. Second down, 3-yard run up the middle. Miles Sanders, 3rd and 7. This play also...
intercepted?
No, this what? Play to Hightower.
Yeah?
Ball was... Hightower was supposed to get towards the sideline. Instead, he runs inside, ball goes out of bounds, 3-and-out punt to 2 off-target throws by Carson. And after the game, the coach says, you know, Carson has to make those throws.
So you're saying he would intentionally sabotage him then?
You damn right I think he would.
I don't think he would intentionally sabotage him. You're telling me this guy's obstinate enough to go, not only are we not going to run the ball at first play, we're going to throw the ball to the guy that can't play. Is that what you're saying?
He's boosted him up. Yeah, get it to him early. Let him touch it early. Right. Get him in the swing of it.
Okay.
And if the pass isn't perfect, remember, by rule, the Eagles have to drop it.
Okay.
By rule. Right. If it's off target.
Is this true, Matt Velasquez?
Yeah, I actually remember this game.
He threw a 3-hit shutout with 16 Ks?
With the Phillies. It was
9-inning complete game?
Yeah, I remember that game.
I don't have any recollection of that.
Yeah, that's when everybody was talking about how great his stuff was and how he could be an ace.
That's my bad, then, because I didn't remember that.
That's happened.
There's been so many times where he doesn't last 5 that I can't imagine that he pitched that.
I would not. Now I'm starting to feel it now. I'm really starting to feel it. You way you're hating on him, you have to do a headstand. It's all lining up that Vinny throws a gem tonight. All right, tonight I'm through. Now I'm on to the Wheeler and Nola starts. Philly's winning tonight.
Okay.
Behind Vinny, and we're going to, at the end of the game, we're going to say they won that game because of Vinny.
All right. Well, if I can help out, I'm doing my part.
There you go.
All right. Let's go to Rob on a cell. Rob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob.
Yo, Mike, we talked last week. I'm going to bring up the Flyers, my last point, but I believe Tyrone's right. 3 for 3, I agree with him. One on the Wentz thing, I think there's a setup for that. He needs to go. I think Velasquez, I really want to see him to play and win. Trade him away next year. I don't know. He might be good enough for that. But I agree with you. I don't think he ever pitched 9 games.
Well, apparently he did. He did.
Where did he pitch it?
With the Phillies in 2016. A 3-hit shutout with 16 Ks.
My bad. So I'm wrong on that. But the other third point was regarding Peterson. I do think he's obstinate. I really do think he's obstinate. Remember the Philly play?
Yeah.
Who came to the sideline to say, listen, this is now we have to do it?
Well,
and
Foles
he thought
did.
For a second, right, and mm-hmm. I'm a Foles guy. And he said, yeah, I guess we'll do it. And he
How's everyone doing?
There you go. Now, listen, I got to make this point about the Flyers.
Yeah.
They got past the Canadians. Remember, yeah. They got past them.
Yeah.
Who's playing in the Stanley Cup final right now? Number 5 against number 3. Yeah, the Flyers were number 1. But number 5 is playing number 3. Come on.
Well, anyway, what are you saying?
I'm glad you had... I'm saying
so you're not. You're saying I was wrong about the. Well, what do you mean? How was I? What did I say about the Flyers that was wrong?
They were a number one.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, you're telling me. You're telling me that you were okay with the way they went out.
Game seven, 4-0. I didn't like that. I didn't like game seven. Okay, so what? I didn't like game seven. It was terrible. Okay, but I'm glad you had wine last night. You told me to have wine last week. And you did your Italian heritage good by making that pizza. I'm out.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, wine I had last night was a Oregon Pinot.
That's right.
Named Patricia Green.
Yeah, what a tragic tale.
I know. Who
so
knew?
I saw this wine on the wine list, and somebody had mentioned that wine to me somewhere along the line. So I remembered it, and I asked the waitress who was waiting on that. I said, what's the story? She goes, yeah, I recommend that Patricia Green because I had another one I was considering. And so she brings it to me. It's like a simple label. And I go, this is my kind of wine. It's a simple label, mm-hmm. and it means probably comes from a small winery. So I Google her, Patricia Green Winery.
Yeah.
It's a 52-acre winery in Willamette Valley in Oregon. And the first thing that comes up is Patricia Green died in a cabin fall. In a cabin. The proprietor of the winery.
Sad.
It is. I did not expect. I was looking for the wine part of it. The first thing that comes up is Patricia Green found dead in a cabin.
I know.
It was really surprising. Like
it was a little spooky.
But it was a good wine.
Oh, it was delicious.
Fantastic. So if you encounter that, it's called Patricia Green Pinot. And for that wine, from that little winery, make it all the way to the East Coast, it must have won a lot of awards along the way and got a little buzz to come this way.
Yeah, so the tough part is we're drinking a 2018. And you talk about her perishing.
Yeah.
In 2019. Like, it was like.
Right.
It was weird.
Oh. But she died in 2017.
Oh, 2017.
Yeah,
it was
2017.
Oh, right. So we had the.
We had the one.
She,
those were her grapes still.
Yeah.
Yes.
She right. The co-owner was a guy who's.
He's still running.
He's running it. Yeah. Now. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I know. What are you gonna do out here?
Never know where the night's gonna take you.
Tough out there in them vines.
It is like she falls at a cafe. Yeah. You know, I gotta think there was foul play involved.
You were saying that last night.
You know, it didn't say like the investigation wasn't completed on the story. They were still investigating. So yeah. I don't know what happened.
And if you're the assailant and you're watching or listening, remember, murder has no statute of limitations.
Correct.
So you're not safe just because you think, oh, it's been a couple of years. No. Don't get sloppy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you push that poor woman who makes a wonderful wine.
Could be like that Tiger King woman.
Uh-huh. Carol Baskin.
Mm-hmm. They let her, I can't mm-hmm. believe, I guess she's on, I don't watch it, she's on Dancing with the Stars.
Is she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
her okay. and Nelly. I don't know who else is on. I just know her and Nelly are both on.
You think Nelly ever thought that he would end up there with Carol Baskin? No.
I gotcha.
No.
This wine is not that expensive. It was expensive last night, but like you,
that's
you can get it at a reasonable price depending on which Pinot you're buying.
Yeah, but
it's got Total Wine. Total Wine has it. Oh, there you go. That's local.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, let's go. Joe in Redding. Joe, hold on a second. You'll be next. We got a break. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with your calls, 610-622-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for a Twitter poll update. Natalie Eganoff, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat.
Alrighty, Mike, let's see. We have over 700 votes on this one so far. The Eagles and Phillies need contributions from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Vince Velasquez. Will they step up to the plate? 6% say yes to both. 5% say yes to Arcega-Whiteside. 22% say yes to Velasquez. 67% say neither. So
no faith. No faith in Vinny. We've just proved that Vinny is a horse. He did go 9 innings once. This is what I'm doing. This is my project now. I'm doing it. The next commercial, I'll have it finished. I'm going over every one of his starts since he did that 9-inning complete game.
Okay.
All right.
If it means anything to Vinny out there, if we're sending him those vibes down to Florida, people believe in him over 5 times more than they believe in Arcega-Whiteside.
That's like, right.
5 times.
That's right.
Because like 5% believe in Arcega-Whiteside. And 22%. So that's over 5, you know, over 5 times. Four times yeah. more. Mm-hmm. Four times more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's something.
Do you remember we used to talk about Arcega-Whiteside and the athletic genes that he possessed?
Yeah.
His mother was an Olympian or something.
Mm-hmm.
What was she?
I don't remember. I knew he had the good genes, runner, though.
Some sort.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And they were denim.
Those
were the athletic genes. The denim ones.
See, I don't like.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I mean, when he goes to Stanford,
adding the mock to the poor kid.
Yes,
this is the start of his life.
Now, his mom played college basketball at App State, and she's the all-time leading scorer in the conference.
Oh, well, there you go.
And two of his uncles played basketball professionally in Spain and played for the Spanish Olympic team. Two of his uncles.
Wow.
So it's in
that's pretty good genes.
It's in the genes, mm-hmm. but then his mom's holding the umbrella at training camp. So it's like, I got to balance that.
She cared about her son.
Come on, man.
She was interested. She's an athlete. She was interested in seeing him practice.
I don't mind.
Wrong with that, is it?
I don't mind. A mother's instinct is to do that. My mm-hmm. mother would have tried to do that.
Yeah, and you would shoot her.
Of course. You can't actually take her up on it.
Mm-hmm.
You're a grown man.
A mother's love's kind of cute, though, when it comes to...
Yeah.
You think?
At a barbecue in the backyard, they're tossing the ball around. It's a hot day in the summer, in July, before camp.
Yeah.
And you're at a 4th of July picnic, and your mom wants to shade you. Do whatever, and the uncles razz you a little bit. Ha, 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 ha. Not at football camp. It sets the tone for how you football.
All right. Let's go to Redding. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
I am a Carson Wentz fan.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be a franchise guy either here or somewhere else. I think what's happening now is, Mike, you predicted this way back and when they made the trade. When they picked up Hurst, you said that it's going to mess with his mind. Mm-hmm. I think he's pressing. Uh-huh. I think he feels like they're giving up on me. I got to prove that I can do it. And I think he's trying too hard. So my opinion is that he's either going to get himself together, or they'll get him out of here, but I think eventually he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I think the Carson we saw in 2017 is vintage, and I think it's a matter of time.
I'm glad you're so optimistically positive about him, and I can't rule that out either. Well, we have seen him perform. He isn't like it's been he's been a stiff. He's performed very admirably at times. So you're thinking he's going to get it back?
I think he can get it back. I think he's trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
He needed this week to see a psychologist or yoga or something and get his and recover. But I think he really has overreacted to the fact that they probably figure we need to have a backup. And I think he may be trying too hard to show them that I'm still the man mm-hmm. that I should be.
Is that an excuse, you think? 5 years in that he would be spooked by something like that? I mean, that doesn't exactly give me confidence in the guy. Like, who cares who the backup is what he should be saying.
Well, that's what he should be saying. I mean, if he was a guy like Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers would say, hey, you guys would be sorry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so, but that's just my assessment.
Okay.
And I hope he recovers. I think we'll win Sunday, but we got a lot of holes we got to fix, but he's the number one. We got to get going.
I agree that they're going to win, and I agree with you that Wentz is going to play well. And I think it's going to be aided by a more simplistic game plan of running the ball. Now, I'm throwing my faith into this head coach to be able to do that. If he makes me look stupid, then on Monday, you know what I'm saying?
Well, in the past, he has been in love with the run when he shouldn't have been, but let's hope that he can wake up.
Okay.
Let's hope he can wake up, and I hope you're right, and let's go, Eagles. Let's fly, Eagles, fly.
All right, Joe. You got it, buddy. Okay, let's go. Dan in Mount Airy. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Hey, this is Darren, not Dan, Mike.
Darren, what's up, Darren? What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Mike, Tyrone, Natalie, how y'all doing?
Good, man. We're doing good.
Hey Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on, partner. Run this down. I don't agree with Tyrone the whole time, so here it goes. As a person, I like Carson Wentz. He's great. He's great in spirit. He has great spirit tomorrow. But we're talking about football. He is a no-good-for-nothing football injury prone, always taking sacks, non-friendly quarterback to receiver, throwing Jabroni. He's got to go. He's got to go, Mike. Hey, Mike, Mike. Let the mayor raise city taxes. So we can pay for his retarded contract.
Well, then let me ask you. Well, you said something. I want to have a conversation with you. Why are you judging that harshly that he's got to go when
Mike,
it's only
I'm
the third
Philly
game
fan.
Of this year?
No, Mike, I'm a Philly fan. I've been around this city for years. That I'm not the only one. Y'all talked about it earlier. You know, about Philly fans. There are a lot of Philly fans who want to see he's got to go, Mike, why are you doing this up? Mike, stop this right now. Mike,
I'm just asking you why have you seen enough to say that? That's what I'm asking.
Mike, we 0-2, Mike.
Okay, 0-2 is not like 0-16.
Mike, he is a shell of what he was in 2017. And Mike, you a level-headed guy. You know this.
I don't know that yet. Listen, he's not played well in the first two games. I don't go, he's got to go.
This is one of the weeks I don't agree with you, Mike. I'm not there with you. Stop it.
All right, man.
Hey, Mike, have a good weekend.
All right. All right, that's a guy. Listen, that's unfair, really. It's unfair. He's got to. You can't say he's got to go after two games. It's unfair.
I don't think he deserves that level of venom.
No, it's like ridiculous to overreact to that extent.
He doesn't deserve that, but this is what he's getting, and that's out there. And I respect him for having the gumption to say it out loud, because there's a lot of fans out there
already are saying he's got to go.
They were saying it before the season started. When he got that concussion against the Seahawks, a lot of people said, enough with this guy. Then they draft another quarterback. They draft another one in the second round. And then two bad games. They decided that before it started. The first interception against Washington, they were like, see? These people are done with him. They don't want him to get better. They just want him to go. And those are the people that I despise. They're in media. They're in their fans. They're all. It's all over the city. It's all over the country.
There are
people that are just straight done with them, and that's their choice. But I think if you're an Eagle, I don't care about that. If you're an Eagles fan, I think it's kind of trashy to think like that.
All right,
but it's out there.
Okay, I'm almost done my Vinny Velasquez.
Your research.
Your project.
Data.
I'm sure he's mixed in some 8 innings and some 7 innings and since then. I mean, he's Vinny.
Oh, wow. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know at our next break what I got. Gotcha. Let's go, Greg in Bethlehem. What's up, Greg?
Hey, speaking of Vinny, I hope he builds off his last start and also has been paying attention with Eflin to realize that you don't have to be Cy Young to pitch a decent game. You know, you just have to make your pitches. I mean, he has decent stuff. He just, I don't know if he loses focus or, I know you don't think he has decent stuff. I don't know.
No, I don't. I don't think his stuff is A stuff.
But, I mean, he makes pitches that are unhittable, and then he turns around and hangs one. I mean, I don't know. Is that just...
Well, I mean, he's no good. That's what it means. How many years has he been pitching? Seriously, like, this is the thing I don't understand. Like, I hope he builds off of what? When is he built off of any start that he's ever had? Like, where does that happen?
Well, it could happen tonight.
Well, I hope it does, but that's not what I'm asking you. When does he build off a good start?
Well, I think he's a head case. I think he has the arm to make the pitches.
Yeah, this is what he's done this year. You want to hear it, Greg? This is his starts. 3 innings, 4 innings, 5 innings, 5 innings, 3.2, and finally 6 last week, his last start. That's what he's done in 2020. Now, where is he building?
I said I hope he builds on his start.
Okay, all right, I got you.
You know, I mean, if we look at the whole history, he hasn't shown consistency, but I think he has some pitches that he can make. He just has to make them.
Yeah, it's too. Listen, too many years have gone by for us to hope that he's going to like do something. Seriously, I mean, how much more data do you need? Or data, however you say it. I hope he wins tonight. They need him to win, but I'm just saying, like, the track record would indicate he's not going to build up anything.
Well, you think a pitching coach, somebody can get through that walnut of...
No, this guy supposedly is a great pitching coach.
Well, so it's time to build.
Yeah. Pitching coach is, at the end of the day, the guy has to go out and execute.
Well, he'll be ready for the Cy Young next year.
Yeah. He's going to build off it. All right, Greg. You got it, buddy. I have completed my project. Okay, so since he has thrown that 9-inning complete game in 2016, how many times do you think, since 2016, as a starting pitcher, that he has gone as much as 7 innings?
Twice.
Actually, 4 times.
All right.
In 2017, he hit the 7 inning mark twice.
Okay.
In 2018, let's see, that's 6 and 5, like 30-some starts. He hit 7 innings once.
All right.
In 2018.
Okay.
In 2019... he hit it once.
Okay.
And this year, he hasn't hit it.
Yeah. Till tonight.
Tonight's the night. Yeah. All why right. not?
So don't forget about 8. 7 is the tops. And he's done it 4 times
He had a lot of starts.
He had like 100, more than 100 starts.
Yeah, that's not a good ratio. He's not a good pitcher. But I don't need him to be a good pitcher. I need him to be good one time.
Okay.
Tonight. I just need him to be good tonight.
All right.
I know you don't think he's going to get the 6-6.
I hope he does.
No.
I'm not feeling great about it. That's why Toronto's a favorite tonight. I mean, Tampa.
Tampa, yeah, they're big favorites. They don't expect a lot from Vinny, but maybe Vinny surprises tonight. I'm positive.
Yeah, see, I see this and I go, this is me as general manager.
Yeah.
I see this and go, get him out. Klentak sees it and goes, well, maybe he can build off something.
Well, you know what you don't have? You don't have spin rate. and all the other stuff, that's what he goes by. He does
spin this. Spin rate.
The great spin rate.
Look at this track record. And I'm a general manager. I go, enough. I had enough.
You don't know batting average on balls.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46. Mike Missinelli Show. Brian Westbrook coming up at 4 o'clock. And also, don't forget about our Fanatic football pool also coming up at 4, where you got a chance to get into drawing for the grand prize to win a baby pool, football baby pool, full of great prizes. And we'll give you the number for our contest line coming up at 4 o'clock. All right, my research is completed. Before you back to the phones. Since he had the three-hit shutout in 2016, Vince Velasquez has had 84 starts. How many of those starts have been five innings or less?
In 84 starts?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 50.
55, my friend.
That's not good. That's the opposite of good.
Let's go to Ryan in Lumberton. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ryan?
I'm doing pretty good today. It's actually my birthday today, so I'm having a
beautiful
day. But anyway, so I wanted to talk Eagles, but just to chime in on your little Velasquez point there.
Uh-huh.
He's bad enough without being in a pressure situation. And now they're in a game that they have to win if they want a playoff spot. And
you never know.
You never know. I mean, you and I are both realistic people enough to know that it's hard to have high expectations for him tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm really depressed that he's the person we're supposed to cling our hopes to win this game tonight. But I guess I am happy that he's pitching tonight instead of Sunday. So if they lose tonight, then at least we know, all right, it's done.
It's not done. If he loses tonight, it's not done. That's the thing. Now, you're absolutely right, though, because if they took it to Sunday and they needed him to win the Sunday game and it didn't happen, then you'd feel a lot worse.
Right.
Yes.
But anyway, on my Eagles point, this is the first time ever where I felt complete indifference toward the Eagles by week three. And the reason I feel indifferent is as such. It's not that I don't think they could win on Sunday. They could win on Sunday. They could, you know, maybe pull up some upset maybe at some point down the road. But here's the bottom line. You cannot have, as you beautifully outlined this week, this, you know, completely fractured relationship between the head coach and the quarterback and expect to win any significant amount of games, let alone do it, make any noise or go to the playoffs or anything. So it just kind of leaves me, like, hopeless about the team. I'm like, whatever. If they win Sunday, great. Not to mention how difficult the schedule is and, you know, all these other things. To add that into it, it just leaves me pretty hopeless as an Eagles fan.
Well, listen, I think they're going to win. So I think you're going to have a different perspective next week.
Well, we'll see. I hope you're right. But then it's just knowing who they got. I mean, what is it? The 49ers are after that, right?
And
then Pittsburgh and then Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. That's three straight losses again. So.
Yeah. I got you.
It's so hopeless.
All right, man. Really. Listen, we'll talk to you. All right.
Have a great day.
Tyrone, I got to go to the bathroom, but I can't hold it anymore. I'm sorry. So you take the next call. I swear to God.
All right. We've got a bit of a situation here.
Good luck to you, Mike.
Bit of emergency. So Corey and Reddit, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Corey?
Yo, what's going on, Tyrone?
What's going on, man?
No, not too much. Well, I just kind of was wanted to start off with saying, first time calling. It's great to hear you guys. But I'm really not bitter about this. The 0-2 start right off the bat, but it's a little defeating. You know, coming off the Flyers' lackluster playoff run and the Sixers as well. It's just, you know, you look at the Eagles and it just says, it's almost like the trend of Philly sports at this point, you know?
Yeah, it's not awesome right now. Obviously, you should be disappointed, and the Phillies haven't helped us much either. They should be clinched by now. It shouldn't be coming down to the last series of the season. with the sixth highest payroll in baseball, they should already be in. So it's bleak right now. Anybody who's negative right now about Philly sports is, to me, just a regular human.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's, and with football right now, it's, you see all these ligament tears, and it's just like, are these guys football ready? The Eagles are just another story with that, and it's getting bleak, but
I think there's people out there to think that might not be true. We're paying attention to all the ligament tears. Did you keep track last year how many there were? Like, you'd have to compare it. It seems like a lot, but we don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
So that's something that, we're looking for it because there was no preseason and all that stuff. But unless you can compare data over last year or the year before that, you don't know for sure whether or not that's
it's definitely too early to tell. I agree.
But do you think they win this one, though?
I'd like to see him win it, especially Joe Burrow, rookie quarterback. You don't want to see Carson Wentz, who's been under fire, to see him not, you know, win this game. But last point, like, it's a little psychological. You know, you see a little bit of the comparisons from the Sixers season earlier this year with Brown being fired. Is Doug Peterson going to be under that same scrutiny? You know, you're trusting the process. You want the team to be, you know, first in the league. There's high hopes, and then you're just getting let down. Are there similarities?
No, too soon. Too soon to say similarities. Welcome back, Mike.
Thank you. It's the first time that's ever happened to me in my sports talk career.
I was going to say, has that ever happened before?
I couldn't believe it. I just,
Smart thing.
You gotta go.
The alternative is far worse.
What was the excuse that Jerry Seinfeld gave when he went in the parking lot? Like, there was a condition. If you didn't relieve yourself right away, you get this condition.
Right, but George had already used it. They both got finished in the parking garage.
Man, I'm telling you, that's that bourbon. The bourbon's messed my system up.
Oh, man.
You'll need an extra day to recover.
I've been drinking fluids all day today.
I have some Tums. That's probably not helping. I have some Tums. Do you want some Tums?
No, it's not my stomach that was upset. It was just, no, it wasn't that. Well, no, it was a number one.
You didn't have enough time for that.
I don't know.
It was the number one. I was been drinking liquids all day to flush myself, my system. Okay. And it just went, whoa, go now. Sorry. Well, sorry,
we're
people.
Good, but 4 o'clock hour's coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect timing. 610-622-0975, and Brian Westbrook is going to join us at 4 o'clock. And don't forget, it is time in about 5 minutes for the football pool contest, where you can get $100 quick cash if you're the fifth caller coming up. And also, if you answer a trivia question correctly, football trivia question, you will qualify in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool and everything in it. And we'll tell you what's in it after this. The Mike Missinelli Show continues on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The 4 o'clock hour, it's a big hour. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
Yes, it is. And listeners, right now, call our contest line, 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. If you are lucky enough to be the fifth caller, you will get to play for the big prize. First of all, you'll get a quick $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook if you're the fifth caller. And then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool and everything in it. So what's in it? Well, $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. A fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete. A Pool and Pro 21-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. We've got the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4. A talking teddy bear for the movie Ted 2. The Godfather tribute game. A Peter Laviolette autographed mini helmet. And a full year's supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods. Caller number 5, 215-263-0975. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on Football Friday, it's always a fun experience to talk to our next guy, who I think played a little football in his life. He is also brought to us by Landis Block and Concrete, and he is the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How are you?
Doing good, and I'm really interested to talk to you about this game, because this is a game that I believe is so fundamental for a game plan that the Eagles will win it, and I think they win it easy.
Really?
Yes.
You believe that, huh?
I do.
You know, Mike, I've been thinking about this thing. And here, I had three questions. I've been thinking about these three questions all day, and I'm going to answer your question, but here are just three questions I just can't get out of my mind. And, you know, so Carson signed his contract in 2019, mm-hmm. right? In June of 2019. So yes. It's been basically a year and a couple months that he's been under contract, and we all felt that he deserved this huge contract. Then, I mean, talking about people in Philadelphia saying he's the best quarterback that has ever played there, Ginger Jesus, all these things, and from listening to the station all day long, pretty much all week long, now we have a lot of our fans, more than 50% of our fans, saying, you know what, we're done with Carson Wentz. Don't, forget about the guaranteed money. Forget about the contract. We want this unproven rookie quarterback that hasn't played, you know, a meaningful down underneath center in the NFL yet. We want this guy to start. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it also kind of shows you how bad Carson has been playing, and the turnover that Carson has already committed. It's just disappointing, I guess, to see him play this way. But I also kind of think, are we really ready to go to a rookie quarterback at this point already?
No, absolutely not. So do you think it's a majority of fans that feel that way, or just kind of like a pocket of Wentz haters?
Well, I tell you, there's an ultimate. Again, I've listened to the station all week long, and there's been a lot of calls coming in saying we want Hurts. You know, mm-hmm. Carson is broken, and he can't be fixed. And that's probably the biggest thing. There are some people that feel that he's broken and can't be fixed. They feel that he can't stop turning the ball over, because that's been probably the biggest issue. Even if you have some errant throws, the inaccuracies, it's been the turnovers that have really lost football games for us. And so if that's the thing that I think a lot of fans are now believing Carson can't fix.
Well,
that,
I want to. I definitely want to get your analysis on that in a couple seconds. But let me lay out why I think this is a kind of a fundamental win for them, right? And I'm counting on the coaches to study the same thing that I'm looking at, right? That this team they're playing cannot stop the run. So a run-centric offensive attack puts less strain on Carson to make these big plays that he's trying to make. They control the clock. They run the ball against a team that can't stop the run. It's a shorter throw to reach pay dirt for him at this point, where he doesn't have to make the monster throw. And defensively against a rookie quarterback, it's proven he has not done well against nickel and dime coverage, which is what Schwartz loves to do. So fundamentally, the game plan has to be simple to win this game.
Well, I think ideally it certainly would be simple to be able to win the game. And you have to be careful when you say, let's just run the ball. Mm-hmm. Because there's two variables there. If you're just running the ball, it's also putting into effect that your defense is playing well. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen our defense play well yet. We haven't seen our defense put us in the position where, you know what, they're just stopping teams over and over and over and giving us the ball back. And so that we can kind of slow the game down and run the football. We haven't seen that from our defense. And so there may be a problem there. The other part to that is, and this really goes in line with the defensive side of things, the other team can't be scoring a bunch of points. The Bengals scored 30 points last week. I mean, of course it's against the Browns, but mm-hmm. our defense hasn't played much better than the Browns defense. Our defense hasn't just been lights out. We may be without Fletcher Cox, and if he does play, he'll be a little bit dinged up here and there. So, I mean, there are some issues there. I think that in the premise of your idea is correct, but it has to come to play that the defense plays well and the offense is able to get a big time or a big chunk plays from the running game. And I don't know that we can do
All right, well, let me just give you a couple stats. Because this is what I'm relying on. If I'm a coach, I go, okay, I got to take this into consideration when I put together my game plan. Then I want to ask you about how the game plan is introduced to a team. But the Bengals are a terrible tackling team. They have allowed 187 rushing yards after contact. All right? So, and they're the 30th ranked rushing defense in the NFL. They just gave up 215 on the ground to Cleveland. So that's it. And now I hear what you're saying about the defense. So now let's go to that because he's hand in hand.
Before you go any further, Cleveland has the best 1-2 punch of running backs in the league.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I mean, they have a good set of running backs and they have a quarterback that can't throw the ball very well. So I think we have to give them a little credit as far as Cleveland's ability to run the ball. And maybe the Bengals' defense sucks too, but I think you certainly have to give them a little credit.
Okay, their corners also don't hold up in man coverage. They're allowing 10 yards per attempt, 16 yards per completion. But now let's go to the defense because it's a major point here. Now, Burrow has been really good against base defenses.
Mm-hmm,
he has a QBR of 80. But when five or more defensive backs are on the field, his QBR shrinks to 48.
Okay.
Now, Jim Schwartz has been in the league a long time, right? Now, I know you have to try to get some pressure with your front four, but this is a rookie quarterback who hasn't yet mastered when they flood the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for you?
Well, I think that you do the same thing that I thought we would do against Dwayne Haskins. Well, you do the same thing there. I mean, you put him in a situation where he's in third and long, second and long, and now he has to throw the football. Unfortunately, what we saw in the second half of the the Washington game was Dwayne Haskins, a quarterback that's a year away from being a rookie, was able to find holes in our defense and score 27 straight points. We also saw, you know, last week in a situation where we couldn't stop anybody defensively either. So, I mean, all those things that you're saying are true. If we had a good defense, if we had a defense that can get off the field, we haven't seen that yet. Okay. We haven't seen our defense in a situation where they can show up in that way.
All right, hold on to that thought. We're going to play our Fanatic football pool right now because we have our fifth caller on hold. His name is Jim, and he's from Fishtown. Jim, do we have you?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
Hello, Jim. Congratulations. You win $100 right out of the chute from Parks Casino and Sportsbook, and you're now playing to be in the drawing for the grand prize of the pool filled with great prizes and gifts. Are you ready to answer your trivia question?
Yeah, I can't wait. Thank you very much.
All right, here we go. In the history of the NFL, only one team has gone through a perfect undefeated season. Which team did it?
I'm going to go with the New England Patriots.
Oh, that's incorrect, brother. Sorry, man. Thanks for playing. But it's incorrect. The 1972 Miami Dolphins went through a perfect undefeated season. The Patriots lost in the playoffs.
Yeah, and all those members of that team fraudulently get together every year when the last team loses.
Yeah, they root against them.
And they drink champagne together.
Yeah, they do. Is that a violation?
It's a huge violation.
Westbrook, is that a violation?
No, that's not a violation.
It's a negative celebration.
Well, no, it's a positive for them. It would have been negative if someone goes and has an undefeated season. It would be negative for them if that happened. Why would they be rooting for somebody else that they have no affiliation with?
Well, that's out of respect. Out of respect, they go, oh, well, that team did what we did. So I tip my cap to them.
Mike, when you, let's say you had a record in baseball, a strikeout record, 20 strikeouts in the game, whatever that is. Are you rooting for the next guy to go get 21? Absolutely not. You're like, yeah, I'm glad you didn't get 20. I appreciate
But I'm also not holding a party to put some voodoo on them either.
Oh, well, they just want to hang out with the guys.
It's a real thing. I remember Mercury Morris was talking about it. Like, no, it's a real thing. And this is how I know Brian. This is where Brian is lying right now. You want to know how I know he's lying? Brian held a record. And when it got broken, Brian's response was, records are meant to be broken. Oh. I had to be pretty darn good to hold the record in the first place. But when the Dolphins do it, all of a sudden, Brian doesn't even act like that. And I don't even like Brian. Brian doesn't act like that.
Hey, well, you know, you don't act you gotta like say that. What you got to say. I mean, you know.
No, you meant it.
You say what you got to say. All right, let's get back to the. I want to talk about the game plan. I want to talk about Carson and what you're seeing with your eyes. But so the game plan, how is it introduced to the team? Like you're a running back, right? Now this game, I would expect that the head football coach and his offensive game plan. Right, we're going to run the ball a lot more. We're going to be run centric and pass off of that. How is that introduced to you guys? And what's your reaction and how you practice that?
What happens usually on Wednesday, I mean, you still are going to put in the same amount of plays. You're going to probably put in, I don't know, 50 pass plays and 40 run plays normally, as a normal week. And this week, if you say that we're going to run the ball a little bit more, you'll still put in your 50 pass plays, but maybe you put in 50 run plays. So you'll add another an additional amount of run plays because you may have to get to those plays because of the amount of runs that you plan on making in a game. And then what happens in practice, and this is always a telltale sign of how Andy Reid thought for me. During practice, you start to see, are we passing 75% of the time in practice, or is it 50-50? If it's 50-50, then we got a chance of running the ball in the game. If we're playing against the Baltimore Ravens and they have big guys up front, Andy Reid already knew he wasn't going to run the football. So in practice, he began the processes of throwing the ball. And so the players on the team, we kind of got the understanding of exactly what the mindset of the coach and the game plan was going to be going into the game. And so the coaches, of course, the offensive coordinators, the guys that are introducing the plays, they're going to say, here's our game plan. And if you guys can swallow this game plan, understand it, then we can win the football game. We're going to run the ball a lot. The Bengals are giving up more yards on the ground than they are giving, you know, passing, basically. And now we have to find a way to make sure that we get our run game going. Big men up front, offensive line, this game is won in the trenches. You guys have to have a great game for us to be successful. And, of course, Miles Sanders plays a big part in that as well.
Yeah, so give me an idea what Miles Sanders might be thinking. And also Boston Scott, this thing, because they're going to both, I think, get a lot of carries.
Well, if I'm Miles Sanders, it'll be simple. Because I look at the stats. I look at what defenses have done. I also look at what teams have done against the team that we're going to play. And if I'm just seeing the Browns rack up a bunch of yards with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, I'm expecting to run the football. I'm expecting to have the ball in my hands 20-plus times running the football. And I think Miles Sanders in this game is going to get 25 touches between the run and the pass. And so if I'm Miles Sanders, I'm thinking it's time for me to go. And really, if you listen to Deuce all offseason, you listen to a lot of things coming out of the Eagles, they all were saying Miles Sanders is going to be the torch. He's going to be the guy that's going to be carrying the load. And I'm not talking about just the running the ball load, but I mean for the offense. And so I think this game, obviously being one game removed from the injury type of thing that he dealt with in the first week of the season, now it's time to give Miles Sanders that ability to carry his football team. He had a good game last week. Now it's time to give him 20 carries, plus carries, and see how well he can do against a Bengals team that just can't stop the run.
When you know you're going to get the ball as a running back, how much did you obsess over ball control leading up to the game? Like, did you do anything? Did you carry, guys carry on the football constantly. They have the football.
Yeah.
Did you do any of that stuff? No.
I did none of those things. And for me, once you start thinking about fumbling and things like that, that's the type of things that gets you to fumble the football, put it on the ground. Those habits just are built in practice over time. You know, over the course of your career, putting two hands on a ball in traffic, carrying the ball on your outside hand, you know, stiff arming, putting the ball, tucking the ball close, having the 5 points of pressure. Those things are developed in practice. Those good habits are developed, and the coaches have to be talking to Miles Sanders about that too. He fumbled the ball with on his third touch last week, and so he has to be thinking about that as far as ball control. But I'm not doing anything silly like carrying the football around in the cafeteria like you saw. But I will tell you this: when I was in San Francisco, they had a fumbling problem on the team. I was barely playing. The quarterbacks were fumbling, running backs were fumbling, everybody was fumbling, and so Mike Singletary, he made everybody, so that, you know, as the guys are practicing, 11 guys are practicing on offense, 11 on defense, everybody else on the team, so the other, I don't know, 50 guys on the team, all had to hold the ball. And so during practice, it was the dumbest thing ever, just personally. It was just stupid. Everybody else had to hold the ball. So the head coach is walking around trying to push the ball out. And if he pushed the ball out, he made you run a lap. in the middle of practice. So now, not only are you holding the ball, focused on holding the football, now if you get it, if you fumble, you get the ball punched out. Now you're going to miss whatever reps of watching the reps, the mental reps, because you're running a lap around the dog. I mean, it was the worst. I mean, we had guys running all practice long. That's like
high school.
Oh, it was high school. We were 6-10 that year. It was like JV high school the entire season.
Good high schools don't even do that.
Yeah.
No.
Because they're too busy practicing real stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you expect your players to be able to hold onto the football, and if they can't, then at that point, they have to sit on the bench.
Mike Singletary's your least favorite coach in the history of your playing days, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. It didn't work out. I like Mike Singletary as a man. Very inspirational. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you need to get hyped for a game, he can do that. He gave great Saturday night speeches. It was just the part where we got into the game, and he just struggled at it. He wasn't there.
All right, let's look at Carson now and the problems that he is having. Now, Dan Orlovsky has done kind of an analytical look at him, but I'm curious to know what you see when you see the guy play football right now and why you think that it is possible that people say, well, he can't be fixed.
Well, I think I see a quarterback that feels the pressure just a bit at this point now. I mean, he's certainly feeling the pressure. But I also think back, I mean, I can't get this out of my mind, Mike. The last five games of last year, he looked like a total different guy. That was just last year. The last five games of last year, he looked like the guy that if you put some weapons out there, you put the Jalen Reagor, you put DeSean Jackson, you bring back Ertz and Goddard healthy, you add a second year of Miles Sanders, now this team is ready to take off because of the play that Carson Wentz had the last four or five games of last season. And now we're seeing a guy that's not confident. We see a guy that questions his own ability. In my opinion, and I know Orlovsky said he's that front left leg is stiff, I feel like he's aiming the ball a whole bunch. Just aiming, trying to hit guys perfectly and aiming and just missing.
Mm-hmm.
It almost looks like he's not comfortable. He's not in the natural form. It's not fluid. And when I see that, I think of a quarterback pressing, trying to do too much. And I have to think that the part of having Jalen Hurts behind him may be playing a little part in his head. There were two people on the team that Andy Reid always kind of deferred to, but always never put too much pressure on because they're a mental side of the game that they have to play. One was a kicker. You never want to give your kicker too bad because those guys could literally win a game, lose a game for you based on how they feel mentally. And your quarterback. You never want to put your quarterback in the situation where he's looking over his shoulder. There was a point where we brought in Jeff Garcia. And you know, Donovan, he wasn't happy about it. He wasn't pissed off about it. But, he just kind of felt indifferent. But at that point, you know, because Jeff was a leader, he was successful at another team. And this is a little different to me. And Carson has to find a way, especially – being a guy that saw Nick Foles win a Super Bowl, his backup, he has to find a way to get out of that headspace and get into the headspace where this team is depending upon him to win. And if he can't figure it out, we know that this team just doesn't have any hope for this season.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this and get to your calls with Brian Westbrook, 610-622-0975. That's the number. Get in. We got two open lines right now. Grab them. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganov. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 800 votes on this one today. The Eagles and Phillies need contributions from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Vince Velasquez. Will they step up to the plate? 7% say yes to both. 5% say yes to Arcega-Whiteside. 22% say yes to Velasquez. 66% say neither.
All righty. Well, we'll get into this J.J. discussion in a little bit. But right now, it is time for the Fearless Selections. That's right. And last week, Brian, I believe we were both 2-1.
Surprising.
Now,
I'm still upset about that.
If you had listened to me on the Colts Vikings, well, I was trying to tell you the line was telling me something, you would have been 3-0.
You're right. You're right. And I have to give you your credit. I'm shocked that that happened, but you were absolutely right. You said the line was telling you something, that the Vikings would suck it up, and they absolutely did.
Yes. All right.
Listen to you.
All right. So now let's go with your selections for this week.
These are three of my best picks for this week. I got a bunch more, but these are my three of my best, and I think these are going to be winners. I'm pretty certain. First game, I'm going to go with Green Bay visiting New Orleans. And, you know, the Superdome is just not the same. This line started at 6.5 in favor of New Orleans, and it dropped all the way down to 3 for some reason. Drew Brees doesn't look the same. They got some injuries. Obviously, Mike Thomas is hurt. I'm going Green Bay Packers here outright.
Yeah, Green Bay as a 3-point underdog. I think, Tyrone, you like this one too, don't you?
Outright.
Yeah, this is his big play too. That's actually, I like that myself. All right, Green Bay taking 3 in the Superdome.
Mm-hmm. My next one, we're going to go out to Seattle. The Dallas Cowboys, I just can't have any faith in this football team. This line started at 3.5 in favor of Seattle. It went up to 5. I'm taking the Seattle Seahawks to win this game big.
Okay.
I think they win by more than 5.
Yeah,
points.
A lot of people like that play as well. All right, so you're rolling now with two good plays, I think. Let's go with your third.
Last one here, we're going to go right up the road from me where I'm at currently down here in Maryland. We're going to go to Baltimore Ravens. Kansas City Chiefs are visiting the Ravens, and the Ravens have looked good on offense and on defense. That's why they're favored by 3.5. But I believe in Andy Reid. I believe in the MVP, Patrick Mahomes. I believe in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I believe in Travis Kelce, Tariq Hill, and the other track team they have. I believe that Kansas City wins this game outright.
Wow. Outright, getting 3.5. The vaunted Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
I don't know, I like that one. That line tells
you don't
me.
Like it?
Yeah, the line tells me the other way. But you're right with Green Bay. +3, you're predicting an outright win. You have Seattle covering 5 easy against Dallas, and Seattle's at home. And you got the Kansas City Chiefs on the road going to Baltimore, winning outright, but getting 3.5. Two outrights for B. West.
All right, man,
let's roll with me. This almost looks too easy to me. The Falcons, only a 3-point favorite at home against the Bears. I'm going to take them. And the Falcons scored a lot of points last week, and they should be angry about blowing that game last week. They could go two ways. Either they feel sorry for themselves, or they go out and say, that's ridiculous. Let's bust this team up. I'm going to go with the Falcons putting up some points to beat the Bears.
I like that. I don't believe in Mitchell Trubisky at all.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to score enough points. Falcons are going to score some points. All right, let's go to Cleveland. Oh, I love the Browns in this game. That Washington team stinks. The Browns, a 7-point favorite. That's telling me a lot. They win the game easy in Cleveland. And then finally, I got to hold my nose on this. This is against my credo normally. The Vikings at home are a home dog by 2.5, and it's a line that has gone against them with the Titans here. It started off lower than that. But I can't believe that the Vikings, as a home dog, aren't going to win this game outright.
Wow.
I'm taking the Vikings at home. So I got 3 home teams, one of them a dog, and we'll see how we do.
I don't know. I can't trust the Vikings anymore.
I understand why, but I think they're due to win.
So you guys are tied, as you mentioned. Both
tied
of you,
2-1.
2-1. I'm very interested now how long, if there's some separation. Because if we listen to Brian, he had a great year last year and dominated. But we'll find out now once we get several weeks into it.
That's right.
Yeah, even if the numbers say he's not dominating, he's still going to try to con the listener that he's dominating.
Well, that's why I'm going to have I'm going to release the spreadsheet later on.
This is part of the program.
Data City now, Brian.
That's right.
You know what, Mike? I didn't say this earlier, but I have to tell you this. And this has just been sticking in my craw here all doggone week. I go on Twitter the other doggone day, and I see 3 of my good friends. Natalie, who I love dearly. And it hurts me to even put you in this, Natalie. I mean, it hurts me. Mike, who I once considered my best friend, who I now consider just as close to an enemy as Tyrone, and Tyrone Johnson. You guys are out having, within the pandemic, having a nice steak dinner.
It was last night.
Oh, my God. That's even worse.
It was last night that we were at the dinner. Now hold on.
I've been thinking about this all doggone day.
Now, you see, you use these things like a weapon, man. And we were talking about this before the show. Now, what are the chances that you would actually come up from either where you are in Maryland to farm or Brooklyn and drive to Philly and have dinner with us and then get back on a horse and go back where you live?
Mike, I'm going to tell you what. The chances are significantly higher if I'm invited that I'll
There's
come.
There's no chance that higher. You're coming to dinner from wherever you are and spending several hours to get to us to have a dinner and then, like, come on. Stop it.
To be with my good friends, I would do that. That's what I would do. Wow. But obviously, I didn't even get an invite. I got to see it on the internet.
I don't like to throw people under the bus, but it was Natalie. It was a Natalie production.
She's the one
that got the invite from the restaurant.
Yeah. And honestly, we would have, in a perfect world, the invite would have included Booney. And Correct. Brian.
Right.
But
it's tough to manage.
Yeah, it was.
We didn't want to take advantage of the hospitality.
Yeah, we couldn't do that.
You know, we're all here together. We kind of drove all the way there together. It's like a thing.
Yeah,
we have to travel.
Now, maybe they would have rolled out the red carpet for Brian because he's such a big star.
You know, you're probably right.
Well, see, here's the thing that Brian's afraid of, and it's probably right. We would have been recognized more than Westbrook in that restaurant.
That's probably true.
People were fawning all over it. And Westbrook would have had his feelings hurt.
So I would have worn my jersey when I would have did that. In that case, if they don't recognize me, I'm about to pull out the jersey. That's going to be a free meal over there.
We spared you from the embarrassment, right?
Yeah, okay, I appreciate that.
All right, man. Let's go back to the phones. Chris in Allentown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
It was a great show, guys. Afternoon, Mike, Nat, Tyrone, and Mr. Brian Westbrook, number 36, man. I am honored to be on the phone with you right now. You are one of my most favorite players, one of my most favorite players to watch running the ball. I'll never forget when you tore your tricep against the Washington Redskins. Before that happened, you threw like that little hop, skip, dead leg, shoulder shimmy, and I mean, you just busted that thing out for like 15, 20 yards, man. It was one of the most awesome runs. And you used to do that a lot, man. I love you, Brian. You made the Eagles proud. You made me proud, man. I love you, man. I miss watching you run the ball, man.
You did have a pretty good dead leg. That dead leg was very, very effective.
I love that dead leg. Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah.
Defenders love going for that. They love going for
that. Yeah, I know. You used to sucker them into that. Now, what was the pulled tricep? What happened there? Were you out for a while with that tricep?
I think this is the last game before the playoffs. And probably the last regular season game, we went down to Washington. Yep. Jeremiah Trotter was playing on Washington. I'm running the ball. I'm almost out of his grasp. He gets a fingertip on me and those big old paws. And I put my hand down to brace my fall so I could keep on going. And my hand hits the ground. My tricep pops.
That was it.
Ooh.
Man, I remember that play as much as you just played that out, man. He just caught your ankles, you plant that arm, and it was like, oh, no, he's down, man. Brian, you are awesome, man. Love watching you. But real quick for Brian, and just for the Eagles fans alone, you know, it's so hard to find a franchise quarterback in this league, and I know Carson Wentz is having a hard time right now. But, like, Donovan McNabb had the same kind of hard times. If they didn't have Jim Johnson and Brian Dawkins and Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor and all those good players on defense, you know, McNabb wouldn't have had the career that he had. And the problem is right now is Carson Wentz doesn't have that. And then he has 16 coaches that are feeding them information on a daily basis. I mean, how is this guy staying consistent and in control with having all those people talking to him? I mean, wouldn't you be confused if you had 16 coaches, Brian?
No. I mean, that's what quarterbacks do. They shouldn't be confused. And Carson, there's really just no excuse for his play. He's just playing bad at this particular time. He has to be better. And as simple as that. And, you know, I think we've thrown out enough excuses for Carson. At this point, he has to be better. He's paid like a franchise quarterback, and he should be playing like a franchise quarterback. And I can't talk about targets. I can't talk about the guys he's throwing the ball to. I can't talk about offensive line injuries because we didn't give any of those excuses for a lot of players here, and including Donovan McNabb. At this point, Carson has to play better, and my expectation for him
doesn't drop.
My expectation for Carson doesn't drop.
Look at you, man.
You don't remember people talking about James Trash and Stinkston? You don't remember that?
Well, yeah, and we were still winning, though. That's
Hold on.
That's the difference.
They
five NFC
always
championship
winning.
Games. I mean, that's a big difference from a quarterback that has not finished a playoff game for a quarterback that has not won a playoff game.
I happen to agree with you that it's time that the excuses have to go out the window. I'm tired of hearing that he needs Frank Reich and all this stuff. Let me just quickly, before we get to a break, it's going to be a quick break. Dan Orlovsky, he's actually turned into a pretty good analyst when it comes to quarterback play. Mm-hmm. Here's what he was saying about Carson. He goes, watching Carson on tape is a recurring theme with his misses. His misses are high. Now, he's a big guy. When big quarterbacks strain, when they try throwing the ball so hard, they become overextended, and that forces the left leg to become straight. If you can think of an upside-down V, that's what it looks like when he's throwing the football now. When that leg straightens out, that ball is going to go high. It's just physics. Is that what you're saying? And can does he recognize that?
Well, I would have to imagine that he's heard it at this point. I would think that the collection, the brain trust, the offense. Listen, the head coach is an ex-quarterback. I mean, they have to have been preaching to Carson about his mechanics his entire career. That's one of the issues that Carson has struggled with his entire career. And I have to say he's gotten worse. So, I mean, it's either they're not talking to him, which doesn't make any sense to me, because when you're struggling, the coaches are certainly going to talk to him. Or he just said, you know what? I don't care what you guys are saying. I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
And it seems that's what it has come to. And unfortunately, we've seen that a lot with our stars in our city. You know, I don't care what you say, coach. I'm going to do it my way, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
All right, let's take a quick break, quick three-minute break. We're back after this. And, Brian, I want to let you hear some sound. The head coach went all, I'm an NFL player and you're not, on a reporter this week. I'll get your reaction to that. Mike Missinelli Show continues with Brian Westbrook after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. ...97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:46. There's two more minutes left with that, Brian Westbrook. I will get to a couple calls. Laura from Rockledge is up next, so I'm curious to know what Laura has to say today. But anyway, Brian, earlier this week, Doug Peterson, in his, was it the day after press conference? The Monday press conference?
No.
It was Tuesday?
This was Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday. And the question came from a reporter who covers the team for the Philly Voice about Carson Wentz not being able to connect on easy throws. And so we'll let you hear the sequence here, and then I got a couple questions to ask.
Carson had great protection all day. He wasn't sacked. I think he only got knocked down once. And I know you were asked Monday why he's missing throws, and it's an assortment of reasons. But some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups. There ain't a throw out here that's a layup.
All right, that's good enough. All right, now as a player, I'm thinking as you, if you're still a player, you would have probably applaud that, because players, they love it when a media guy gets his comeuppance. But now you're a media guy, so what was your reaction to that?
Well, I think Doug's wrong, though. I know he's saying that there's no layups. I don't think that's true. You know, I think layups is just a term that's basically saying some throws are a little bit easier than others, and from the quarterback throwing a wide route or an out route to a running back, it should be a little bit easier than throwing a 15-yard comeback or a 15-yard dig. I mean, that's the layup at that point. And so I don't think what Doug's saying is true. So I guess he's protecting his quarterback in that way. But I think Doug has to be a little bit more honest. Carson is struggling. He has to do a better job. But those, some of the throws that Carson is missing are absolutely layups. And to me, I do want my coach to protect me. I think I would like that. But at the same time, I think that as a media member, I'm saying, come on, Doug, those are layups, though. Yeah. I mean, we understand that. I think that's just the truth.
But apparently, unless you've played quarterback in the NFL, you have no right to even inquire. can't ask.
Well, the thing about it was that the reporter was asking Doug, Doug, I'm asking for your opinion. You're the coach. Yeah. You're an ex-quarterback. I'm asking because I wasn't a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. All right, let's go Laura in Rockledge. Laura, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Laura.
Hello, happy Friday to everybody.
Hello, Laura.
So, Mr. Westbrook, I have to call you back because I don't know you personally. And when I called you B-dubs last week, I got yelled at. Anyway, you literally are the most favorite player that ever played for the Eagles. Like, literally, I had my Powder Puff jersey on, rocking it at work last Sunday. And everybody was like, best jersey ever, best player ever, blah, 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 blah. And so I just wanted to throw that out there to you.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, Mike.
Yes.
So, are you literally telling me that you hands down believe that we're going to win on Sunday?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I do. I just think it's an easy game to game plan for this coaching staff.
Well, listen, here's the thing. We, not me, but I heard that sentiment going into week one against Washington. And
yeah, you did.
That didn't work out well. Here's the other thing. It's the Bengals, okay? The Bengals are 0-2. I understand that. But in neither one of their first two games, they necessarily get their behinds handed to them. 16-13, 35-30. I mean, that's at least in the game, unlike what the Eagles have done. I truthfully, and Tyrone, I know how you feel that, like, I root against my team. I don't root against my team. I never said Wentz sucked. I never said he has to go. I just said he's not that good. But I'm going to be honest. I think, when have I ever said he sucked and he has to go? I haven't
last
said
week.
That. And I never said he sucked.
You rooted against the team last week.
Yeah.
I never said, you said he sucks. I said he's not that good. Anyway, I am not. What's the line on the game?
Five. Four and a half. Four and a half. Eagles favorite. Four and a half.
All right. So, now here's where I am a little twisted, and I will give you that, Tyrone. A small part of me, really wants the Bengals to beat the pants off of us. And here's why. Not that I'm rooting against my team, but I would love to hear what the BS comes out of on our camp if that happens. And do they just forcing at the, you know...
Where's the payoff to you for saying something like that? Like, what satisfaction do you get out of saying you hope the Bengals beat the pants off of them just so you can see them make excuses for it?
I said a small part of me. Because I just want to hear what Doug Peterson can come up with
Why? I don't understand it. Like, what's the payoff of that? Like, what do you... Why would you want to hear what Doug Peterson had to say after another bad loss? Like, where's that entertaining? Like, that's amazing sense. Laura, come on, you are rooting against your squad. All right.
Yeah. She didn't like that. she didn't like you saying that, Mike.
Well, I clipped her.
Kind of feel a little vindicated there.
Yeah.
She started off saying, I don't root against my team. Laura, and then by the end of the call, she's rooting against her team.
I hope they lose because I want to hear what Doug has to say about that. What? What kind of rationale is that, Laura? Come on.
You know, I always
you're her favorite player.
Well, I appreciate that. But I would tell you what I think this
team you right out of the chute.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate her a lot. You know what this team needs, Mike? This team needs, you know, in basketball, you need to get to the foul line. You need kind of just that shot just to get you going.
Yeah.
Hopefully this game this week can kind of be that catapult for this football team, that Carson kind of figures things out. And then Carson has to get in the zone, similar to that zone that he got into the end of the year last season.
All right, so are you feeling W or L?
You know, I'll give my pick on Sunday. I'll give my pick on Sunday.
Oh,
on the
that's right.
Show.
You got the big pregame show is coming up on Sunday. Devon Givens, Brian Westbrook, D Gunn. The Fanatic pregame show is live from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Devon will kick things off at 9, and then B West, Derek Gunn, join in from 10 to 1. Get you ready for that big game. All right, Brian, you guys have a great show. We will be listening, and we will also talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Sounds good. Take it.
All right, there he is. Brian Westbrook spending every Friday with us, brought to us by Landis Block at your draw dropping backyard paradise, online at landisbc.com. All right, it's the 5 o'clock hour. It's gritty time. And I don't mean the Flyers mascot. You got the Eagles in a must win situation. You got Vinny Velasquez trying to keep the Philly season alive. And we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the big 5 o'clock hour to close out the week. The 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You'll get 20% off all windows and doors right now with no money down, up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. So just call Guided Door and Window today. Number 1-877-GO-GUIDA or online goguida.com. It is Football Friday, and Football Friday on the Fanatic is driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. All right, let's get some phone calls in here in the big 5 o'clock hour. Start with Chris from Norristown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Chris?
Dude, I'm so tired. I just need to educate, I think, this fan base. I think our response has been emotional and not pragmatic, not objective, and not excusing Carson Wentz's play, which hasn't been great, but analyzing why this regression. That's the question is, how did Wentz regress from leading a bunch of new names for four games in the playoffs to an 0-2 start this year? And it's simple. To me, it's self-evident. Doug and Howie. Doug and Howie, it's an organizational flawed philosophy based off, like, I mean, you heard Doug's quote. That's pure ego. That should tell you all you need to know. Like, they have this false affirmation coming off the Super Bowl win. They've been criminally negligent in supporting Carson. Like,
yeah, I get that, and you know, we've said that, and so we're in agreement. But Carson Wentz has control at the end of the day. He's got the control over the play. He can. Like, whoever is holding him down, whether it's he's being spooked by Hurts or whether he doesn't feel he's supported by his coaches, he still takes the snap in a clean pocket and has to make a good throw.
In a clean pocket, and then what? Who's he throwing to? Those players that got we backfilled nobody with end of the draft wide receiver talent who don't know how to run a route.
See, that's another excuse. It's another excuse now. Here's the stat. Yes, it is. It's an excuse because the stat is when he's had clean pockets, he's missed guys.
He has not played well. I am addressing the overreaction and the systemic failures of the front office and the head coach. Yeah. I mean, Doug's play calling is trash. Everything is a comeback or a curl or a hitch. We're not getting those our newfound players with speed. The ball in space. There's no drags. There's no rubs. There's no creativity.
Listen, I'm in half agreement with you because I don't think his game plans have been very good either. But the bottom line is the athlete always has control over the performance at the end of the day. It's like a pitcher. Well, these pitching coaches, how come they can't get it? It's the guy himself. He's got a chance to step on a rubber, deliver a pitch where he needs to deliver. It's the same with a quarterback. Deliver the football.
It's not the same with a quarterback.
Yes, it is. Deliver the football. You got a clean shot. You just heard the layup question, right? Brian Westbrook, yeah, those kind of throws are sort of layups. Make them.
He's wrong because you're not only – it's a clean pocket because you're sending less receivers out on routes because you're max protecting, because you've got him hit 8 times. And then – the guys that are running routes haven't been in there. And obviously, this coaching staff has not developed any talent.
Yeah. I only go so far with that anymore. Like, I can't always look at something else that alleviates responsibility on the quarterback. I just can't do it anymore. It's 5 years in now. Yeah, you're right. Those young guys don't know how to run an out route yet. I get it. But still, he didn't put the ball on guys many times. And that's on him. If his ball is sailing, his mechanics are bad, that's on him. Let's go to Jimmy in Springfield. Jimmy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody.
What's up, Jimmy?
You know, I go back to Franklin Field with the birds, and I guarantee a win Sunday against the Bengals.
Hey.
28-13.
You're guaranteed it.
The first half, but then they're gonna walk away in the second half. The kicker for the Bengals has a hairline fracture in his kicking foot. My niece is a nurse in the hospital, and they saw this. They're not letting it out. But
look at this inside information. Stretch for what you're talking about, the place kicker or the punter?
Punter.
The punter has a hairline fracture?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but no, that's the punter.
Are you still accepting the Godfather comments?
No, but why? What's your Godfather comment?
Well, Francis Ford Coppola has a winery in the Napa Valley.
Yes, I know.
And on the property, he has a classic car showroom. And in that showroom, you can sit in the car that Apollonia,
Michael's
Sicilian wife, was blown up in.
So the car got blown up, though. How can you say
that? That was cinematography. That was smoke and mirrors from Hollywood.
So the car is actually intact, you're telling me?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Oh, man. Well, I'd actually pass the Coppola Winery in Napa. It's a big property he's got out there.
Wait a minute. He didn't say anything about the Coppola. He said the Coppola. Is that the same winery? I'm asking.
That's why I said Coppola, so that hoping that he would get the...
Yeah.
Instead of saying you're saying it wrong.
Have you ever...
I was waiting for you to hit the... What?
I kind of stopped them.
Oh, you
Natalie
stopped
them?
Him?
Yeah.
Oh, because Natalie loves the old school dudes.
I do. Did you hear what he said? He said Sunday.
Guys. Yeah.
Sunday and Franklin Field.
Yeah. I've been watching the Eagles. He's a fan with a fine patina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those fans
are fine patina on him. Yeah.
Grizzled.
Exactly. All right, let's go Bob and Emmaus. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Yes, hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hello, Bob.
I'm a first-time caller, so I'm kind of nervous a little bit, but...
Don't be nervous. It's your world right now, Bob.
All right.
You got control of the call.
Thank you. Well, I used to coach youth league football. I made up all these, tricky plays and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would, since, they have Jalen Hurts as a second round pick. They should use him more effectively with some of the plays that I designed.
Why?
Well, some of the plays are he's fast, and you get him on the inside. Outside.
Yeah, he's not that fast.
Well,
here's the thing.
Well, listen to the plays I have.
Here's the thing I got to tell you about.
Okay.
This thing has been overhyped that he is some kind of a Swiss Army knife, right? He's not really that. He has less skill than the actual skill player you could put in those spots. So why? I don't understand this thing. Why does that give the Eagles an advantage to have Jalen Hurts on the field? What's the advantage? I don't get it.
Well, if they run a motion run pass, where it's a lateral to him.
Yeah, okay.
He throws a motion and he throws the ball.
Well, okay, where he's a quarterback, in a quarterback situation.
Yes.
But you're saying put him on the field because you can do this, do that. Now, how many times can you run an option play like that? Once?
Well, there's a setup play to that where, you pass him the ball.
I get it. This is
the
NFL, bro. Once you show it once, what do you think the defense is going to do? Seriously, this is the most overrated thing I've ever heard, that you can put him on the same field and give your team an advantage. Why? He has less skill than a skilled player who you can put on the field.
Yeah, but I went to the Penn State Clemson bowl game in Florida, and they lost 44-6 Penn State, but the only touchdown they scored was with the two quarterbacks.
That's in college, bro. This is... Listen, I'm glad you play high school or whatever college you can This is the NFL, man. What is this great advantage that this gives the Eagles to put Jalen Hurts on the same field with Carson Wentz other than a halfback pass, sort of? Like, what else? Like, he's not going to beat a quarterback down the field. He's not that skilled. He's a quarterback. He's not a skilled wide receiver.
And if he's throwing it, then Wentz is on the field. Wentz isn't as skilled as a running back, wide receiver, or a tight end. Any combination exactly. You have in the game
that
could catch it. There's
absolutely no advantage to it.
It's dumb. At least when the Saints do it, they just take Drew Brees off the field. And this other guy, and it's a lot of run-pass option. And I still think it's dumb, by the way. It makes no sense, but this shows you how strong the Eagles' propaganda has. It's worked. People are buying it. People really think that this is the thing that's going to happen. So what might happen now is, let's say they do get a lead, which I don't think is going to happen on Sunday, and they're up 21-0. Oh, well, then go ahead and do it. They'll do it, and then people say, see, Mike? They'll call you Monday. See? That's how they got the fourth touchdown, Mike.
Why was there Jalen Hurts? Well, he can run. Well, does he run better than a damn running back? You got four running backs on your team. Where you going to put Jalen Hurts is going to be the better option to run it?
The other part is the only thing Ortega Whiteside might be able to do, and we don't know if he can do anything, is a jump ball. In the red zone, he's not in the game, but Hurts is. So who's Wentz going to throw? He better to throw a jump ball to a wide receiver.
Exactly. Because a wide receiver is used to catching a freaking ball. Jalen Hurts is not used to catching a ball as a receiver.
But it's
what's the advantage?
Ooh, watch. Ooh.
I just don't get it. All right, so Spencer Howard will be available to pitch for the Phillies in the bullpen this weekend. So that's at least something. He can give you two innings.
Right, and maybe in a short burst if the shoulder's sound, and I'm assuming if he's in the bullpen, the shoulder is sound, he can heat it back up to 96 or whatever over a short burst because he started 96, as you pointed out, and then by inning four, he's 92.
It's not a great advantage, but at least it's another guy that you can possibly believe in more than somebody else down there.
Tell you what, I'll trust him right now to be the closer over Workman. If it's him or Workman, him. Because he might be able to miss a bat.
I think your boy Hector's gone back as the closer, isn't he?
Yeah, but that was before Howard was here.
Naris, Howard could be the Mattson guy. And,
oh, yeah, the bridge to Lidge. all right.
Yeah, the Harris to Naris. Sorry,
yes.
Anto with Syracuse. You're a 97.5 Fanatic. Anto.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. So it's funny on the caller end of things because you call in and you get your little game plan ready because you know you're going to talk. And then you listen to a bunch of other callers while you're on hold, which I don't mind being on. But then your blood starts boiling because you're listening to what they're saying and you want to throw your whole game plan out the window. So if I could, I'd like to just give you like the fastest 20 seconds of all the stuff going on in my head about the Bears.
Go ahead.
So one, the highest cap hit on the team is Fletcher Cox. The guy's got 3.5 sacks and 11 QB hits in his past 21 games. That's unacceptable. Now, I pop on the All-22 because I like watching it, played 3-tech. I think I know what I'm looking at. The guy's disruptive in the run game, but you're not paying him most money to make tackles in the run game 3 yards downfield. You're paying him to get to the QB. Second, for anybody who thinks that Jalen, and I'll address what you're just talking about, you could do everything with Jalen Hurts that you could do it with Greg Ward. The guy's one of the most decorated college football quarterbacks of all time. High school player of the year in Texas. Went toe-to-toe with Mahomes in high school. If you're going to use him as a decoy, I'm pretty sure Greg Ward can throw a halfback pass. And then my last point is for anyone watching this thinking that Doug isn't trying to cater the offense to Carson Wentz, they did about the biggest 180 you've ever seen in the National Football League from week one game plan to week two game plan. And as proof of that, Carson's ADP, average depth of target, or average depth of pass, whichever vernacular, went from 0 yards against Washington because they tried to push everything downfield to about 6 yards against the Rams. So I want to rip the whole team. I want to find the positive points. I don't really know where to go with this, but it's frustrating out there because people just aren't looking at the whole picture. And that's no excuse to Carson. The guy's playing like crapola. But
how you feel about Sunday?
I feel great because, one, Geno Atkins, I don't think, is going to play. I know Mike Daniels is also banged up. If there's something that Herbig and Pryor can do, it's get push up the middle. I think Miles Sanders has a great day. We should be able to run the ball on them.
All right.
So if you can run the ball and you can control the clock, you should have success.
That's exactly the way I feel. And again, if he ignores the obvious here and doesn't make the run more of a part of his offensive game plan, he's incompetent. It's just really that that's what it, if he's going to try to outsmart himself and go against the weaknesses of his opponent because he thinks he's smarter than everybody else, that's not a good coach. Let's go to Sean in Westchester. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Mikey Miss, how you doing?
What's up, Sean? How you doing?
Good. So I was just making sure you're on the same page as me here. I wasn't able to tune in Monday. My car radio is giving me problems. But do you think Wentz is as big of a head case as I do? After that interception he forced to Arcega Whiteside, that was probably his fourth read. I heard a few analysts say that. I mean, I know a little bit what I'm talking about, but I was reassured for sure. And we can't run the ball. If you can't run the ball, there's going to be problems throughout the entire locker room and team. It sends a message when you're able to do that. And on top of it, you have Wentz doing all of these audibles when the coach gives him a play. Well, I played pop for about 10, 15 years. So most of my childhood, and when I was the quarterback, when the coach gave you a play.
Oh, good played, for you.
And you went through. And I'm just, maybe it's a little different. It's not, you know.
Yeah, first of all, I don't think
football is football.
Yeah, but I don't think he's changing as many plays as you think he is.
Just for example, like whenever I saw us in the eye one time, finally, great to see us in the eye formation after all these years.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, you expect that the head coach would run the ball this week, right? Because the team they're facing is 30th against the rush in the NFL.
Yeah,
so they won't. So they can run the ball. It's not that they can't run the ball. They have two backs when you use them right can run the ball, and you're putting like you have young guards in there who probably are better run blockers right now where they can just get after a guy. So they should be able to run the ball, and I expect that they actually run the ball more than they pass it. If they don't, the coach is screwing up.
Yeah, I can't see if Wentz is throwing 30 plus passes, I'm gonna have to be talking to you again on Monday morning, and it's gonna be the same thing.
And when you simplify the guy's game plan, you don't ask him to be a hero. You control the clock. A quarterback can feel a little more confident. He's an unconfident quarterback right now. Clearly, he's unconfident. So give him some confidence.
Yeah,
don't call on him. Run. Third and four is easier to convert than third and seven.
Yeah, and they led the league, and they had the longest third down.
Yeah, it's
third
ridiculous.
Downs in week one, and it was better week two, but they also moved the ball a little bit better. There's two things that can give them confidence. One was the obvious one. The other one is somebody make a play for him, which hasn't happened so far this year, where he does something that's not great, but somebody makes something out of it, mm-hmm. and that can make you exhale. Maybe Arcega Whiteside, because he's been wild high. Maybe somebody climbs the ladder and goes and gets it first down, and you feel a little bit, because that hasn't happened so far.
Well, this is what we're talking about today in our poll. It could be a charmed weekend for the two individuals that we don't expect to do anything.
I hope so.
Tonight and Sunday.
You got me feeling better about, for some reason, Velasquez. So I need to call
I got you feeling better about him?
Somehow.
I did?
Yeah. Unintentionally, you got me feeling better about Velasquez.
Unintentionally?
Yeah, there's no way. That, with all the stats you provided, it should be terrible for some reason.
Let me just give you that. Let's ignore the six innings that he pitched in his last outing.
Okay.
And let's go over his starts in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
3.2.
Yeah, so he's due.
He's due
for one to go deeper.
To go deeper than six.
Yeah. Seven and a third is coming to me.
Yeah.
11 strikeouts.
Here's where the Phillies have to use their bullpen. In the top of the bottom of the fourth.
No.
Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah. Here's where they have to use their bullpen. The bottom of the fourth with one out and two on.
See, that can't happen because then Arcega Whiteside won't make a play. They're linked together. These guys are linked forever. They don't even realize
not
it.
Really.
They are.
Not really.
So you can tell me Vinny can stink tonight and Arcega Whiteside can get 80 yards on Sunday?
Yes.
don't know.
Because one dream can't be dashed by another. I don't even know what that means.
I was just going to say.
I'm just saying, I think that they're linked. And I think Vinny's success will directly correlate with Ortega Whiteside. So when we're watching the Phillies tonight, every time he gets a strikeout or something, that's a possibility for Ortega Whiteside. I think they're linked together.
Are you going to rub a genie bottle tonight? Barbara Eden's going to come out of it? Well, that's an old school reference.
Yeah, I like Barbara in her day.
Of course, Barbara had a run. Yes. Everybody liked Jeannie.
It was this, right? And then she did the head thing.
Yeah. By the way, I started watching your favorite show, that Schitt's Creek.
Yeah,
it's not my type of show.
Well, I didn't.
Here's why.
Really?
Here's why. Because every line is a joke.
No, it's not.
Every line is a joke. There's not one normal line in the whole show. Everything is a joke.
No, it's not.
Everything is a quippy joke line. Okay. People talk to each other in jokes like that?
Yes. I think that's kind of like the brilliance behind it, is like they're able to kind of have this dialogue that has, that like intertwines.
Constantly.
And, yeah.
I love the show.
I like it too.
I'm going to keep watching it. I'm three episodes in, and it's beat me over the head with quip after quip after quip. The daughter says one thing, the son counters, the mother counters that, the lady at the front desk counters
Stevie.
Yeah. It's like there's everything. It's a joke. Can I have a normal line? Like, how are you doing today? Like something like that to at least like back me off.
You'll get it.
Okay. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get our final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower or if you're looking for other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Good old-fashioned customer service. Order online at paulbmoyer.com, or you can give them a call, order something, and pick it up yourself with contactless pickup at their shop in Doylestown, PA. Natalie, final numbers on our Twitter poll.
Thanks, Mike. Over 800 votes on this one today. The Eagles and Phillies need contributions from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Vince Velasquez. Will they step up to the plate? 6% say yes to both. 5% say yes to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. 22% say yes to Velasquez. 67% say neither.
All righty. Not very optimistic fan base on our Twitter poll today. By the way, did a call or two calls ago actually say that he played Pop Warner 10 to 15 years?
Yeah.
Well, what did he also do? Repeat the third grade 10 times?
Let's say he started at five. You can play 10 years. They let you play still when you're in high school. The freshman year, you can still play.
I thought Pop Warner ended at like 12.
No, it goes up to high school.
It does?
Yeah. That way you could go right from playing that to playing high school football. Because most middle schools don't have football teams.
Oh, all right. I didn't realize it went that far.
Yeah, and you're allowed to play for 1 year while you're in high school.
Really?
They give you one more year, so you can play 10 years, technically.
It's 5 to 16.
Yeah, see, so you can still play, and then at some point they kick you out, but yeah. Hmm. I mean, anybody worth anything, though, not only insult any kids, like 8th grade, and then you switch to high school. I mean, you don't keep on after you're in high school still playing.
Pop Warner?
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, I didn't realize it went that.
That way you keep getting experience. Otherwise, you'd have to stop in sixth grade and you wouldn't play any football for 2 years and then you show up at high school.
That's the way it was at my high school. We didn't have a Pop Warner legend in high school. We had midget football league.
Did y'all win a lot in high school football?
No.
I know Hoops y'all won.
No, they win now, actually.
Look, these kids all play all the way through eighth grade.
Basketball school when I was there. That was the tradition.
But now I guarantee in Bristol they play up through eighth grade.
They're actually pretty good now.
Yeah, they play through eighth grade and then switch.
All right. Also, I'm getting some feedback on social media about that it was a violation that I used cheddar on my pizza last night. Now, let me just explain this. First of all, cheddar was the only thing I had.
Right. It's not like you chose cheddar over the mozzarella.
But I got news for you. Most of the time when I make homemade pizza, I mix my cheeses. I want to give it a little more taste than just the mozzarella, which is not, it's kind of tasteless.
Yeah.
Right? So last night I just used a sprinkle of cheddar. Didn't cover the whole pizza, but I usually mix a little mozzarella with a little cheddar, maybe a little Monterey Jack also.
That's good. Down in Clearwater, there's this one pizza place, and I'm not saying Clearwater's the greatest pizza place in the land, but there's this pizza bar that does the mixed cheese, and it's very good. Because up here, not as many places have the mixed cheese.
Yeah, you're right.
It was refreshing.
I was in no condition to be selective about my cheeses. Because I went to the refrigerator and I go, I got cheddar. Ah, forget about it. I'm not going to eat the pizza now. You know?
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah, just got to go and roll with it.
Yes. Let's go to Landon Hazleton. Landon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Landon.
Hey, Mike.
What's
up? I actually called in a little while ago. I'm not sure if you remember. I know you take a lot of calls. I'm 17-year-old. So we talked about the Phillies bullpen when I called earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And now the other day I'm sitting and I'm listening to Matt Klentak talk about how JT Realmuto was basically a 2-year rental.
Mm-hmm.
And it suddenly dawned on me that Philly, I believe, is heading toward a dark and depressing era in sports. Other than you could exclude the Flyers, because I think there's a lot of optimism there. But you look at a team like the Phillies, and this is 3 straight years. We think that they could be first in the division, and they end up struggling to hit 500. They've changed coaches. They've changed staff. They've changed players. They've signed new free agents. They've done everything that they can, and still mediocrity is inescapable.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Eagles. They haven't done anything really noteworthy since the Super Bowl. You could argue Josh McCown was pretty heroic last year. They played well in that playoff game for what they had. And they show a lot of heart, but ultimately it ends up being mediocrity again year after year. And most likely, I think so anyway, going to be this year as well. The Sixers, probably the most disappointing of all, seeing them underperform in the playoffs. That was just, that was really hard to watch for me. It's been a tough couple of years, and I really don't see an end to it in the future with all the money.
Yeah, well, let's start with the Phillies because I had no idea what the Sixers are going to turn out depending on what coach they do, and then the new coach might energize what they are. But let's look at the Phillies. Now you bring up the JT thing, which is really interesting. If they don't make the playoffs, and even if they do or they sneak in, it has not been a very successful era for this front office. So I got to think that the inevitable, the John Middleton decision he comes to is, okay, they've had their chance. Now, it's just like it was intolerable to have Gabe Kapler back for another year. It's intolerable to have this crew back for another year. Now, where does that leave JT Realmuto? In limbo. New regime coming in. Does it make him less likely to re-sign here or more?
I think it depends. It really, obviously, it depends who they hire, but if one of these other franchises is willing to give him the money he wants first before he can say, I actually really like this organization, maybe he wants to take a chance with the Mets. Maybe he wants to take a chance with someone else because the Phillies front office anyway hasn't shown him the love.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. See, he would then see the Phillies in a state of flux organizationally. And I don't know whether they would have somebody ready to go right away, but they would be in a state of flux. So that allows other more stable teams to go, you know, Holmes, we're going to pay the most and we're stable. Like, I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm pretty sure Klentak did not mean that he didn't want to sign JT past 2 years, but he just commented clumsily.
I disagree.
Really?
Yep.
You think that they don't want to sign him?
I think he does not want to sign him because I think the cost is too high. The cost is going to be too high, and I think they have a slot in their mind. The luxury tax they're very averse to, and I think that now maybe a new GM comes in and convinces the owner, but I don't think this GM has the clout to make him pay the luxury tax, and I think he's as good as gone.
Yeah, but you can't just give away an asset and then not keep the asset you got for him. That's Like, nobody would do that.
But they're saying you could be throwing money just because you can't double down on a bad decision. There's people out there in the city that use these analytics that claim that there should be a cap. Like, let's say 25. If somebody says 25-5, you let them walk. It's about per year.
I don't think Middleton thinks that, though. I think Middleton, as a sportsman, knows he can't do that.
But then that's luxury tax, and you stink.
Okay, well, then he's going to have to pay the luxury tax.
But most teams that play the luxury tax are good. They'll be paying the luxury tax and stink.
All right. John, Newcastle. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
You know, I consider myself an optimist, but there's no way those guys come through for us this weekend.
Not even one of them?
Well, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside can't play football. So if one's going to come through, I think Vinny gave us his best start of the season, his last start. That was a pretty good start.
It was. So you're not saying he can replicate it?
That guy can't go back-to-back. But
I think the same thing. That's why I have a headstand on the line here, because I think the same thing.
And I call, too. I love Tyrone. Tyrone is like one of my favorite people in all TV and radio. I'm watching yesterday, and Tyrone, man, you can't be snuffing your brother out like that.
He did. He came. Yeah, for the people who didn't hear.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Tell the people what
he's two talking. Scenarios. We talked about Fredo. I talked about years ago. Right. I argued with Steve Martorano, and he thinks it was wrong that he killed Fredo
because it was his brother.
I think it was the right thing to do and would have done the same thing. And also, the only other scenario is in a monarchy situation, not a family, a crime family. I'm the oldest son. If my father tried to pass me over to my younger brother, I would then have to murder my older brother in order to get the crown.
That's kind of sick. That's sick, John. It's sick. He's got a little sickness.
I tell you, Mike, you said it right the other day. The two greatest inventions going right now, the DVR and the Reels channel.
Are you digging the Reels channel?
I got a big weekend of mafia, serial killers, and why bands broke up. All DVR'd this weekend.
Yeah, but Reels has what was that? They have another. What's happening this Sunday? They're not teasing a big show that's coming up on Sunday. What was it?
Oh, Goodfellas 30th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, it's a Goodfellas. Yeah, the Goodfellas 30th anniversary where they sit down with the actors.
Oh, won't see him no more.
It's kind of James and Ewing. James, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James.
Yes, hi. How you doing? First-time caller, but I've been trying a few times before. I'm an actually retired professional trainer, and I have a few things to say. One is, Carson Wentz, you need to have a little bit of patience. The off-season workouts he's had, I'm telling you right now, by the end of the year, he's going to be a MVP caliber. And I think that he just needs time to sort all that out through the first few weeks. It's obvious, and then we have to deal with injuries in the front line. But my main point is, being a professional trainer background, why are we having muscular freaking injuries when, you know, you have to stretch further in the training room than you are stretching on the field? And they should not have these injuries like torn biceps, torn triceps. It should never happen if you've been trained properly.
Who are you talking about, football or baseball?
Football and Carson Wentz and the Eagles.
Who's got those kind of problems?
You got the left tackle, number one, and he's got a torn bicep.
That can happen. That happens frequently in the NFL.
I know that, but if you're trained properly, you should not.
Well, are you suggesting that they have an entire training staff that is not training improperly?
I think there's some loopholes in it for sure. I know it for a fact. It should be.
You know it for a fact.
I do.
Well, how do you know for a fact? Give me an example. How you know for a fact?
I'm a retired professional trainer.
You made that clear. Now, how do you know? Like,
you have to stretch muscles beyond where they're supposed to be.
And you're telling me that you have information that the Eagles training staff does not do that?
I didn't say that. I said that.
Yes, you did. You said you have inside information that they're not being trained properly.
I think it should be looked into deeper.
But you already told me you looked into it.
I did. It should be looked into deeper, though.
Say goodnight.
Right. We're almost there.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And we got Sound Off right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me. What is it? Hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Sound off.
Oh, yeah, it's time for Sound Off. Friday Sound Off. Wrap up the week with Sound Off and Sound Off line 610-771-9705. You got something to say? Hit us up on that line. Like over the weekend, if you're thinking of, you got a thought you want to publish, just hit us up on that line and you may hear it on Monday Sound Off. But let's see what Friday Sound Off brings us.
From the negative borough of Norristown, Coach Ned, Eagles! Defeated Alex Sexton Gordon with passes. Joe Burrow 297 yards. Joe Mixon 220. 62 to nothing. The battle.
Was it Coach Ned?
Coach Negative Ned from Norristown. From the Fighting Borough of Norristown.
Fighting Borough of Norristown. That's a good Coach one. Negative Ned. I like it.
Hey, your football gods. I know our coach has the intelligence of Jonah before he was swallowed by the whale. But for this game, please grant him the wisdom of Solomon. And our quarterback, please guide his arm like that of David when he struck down Goliath. Oh, football gods, please grant me this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Or you could go, God, I don't ask you for anything. All right? Let me shoot 85 tomorrow, and that J.J. Arcega-Weiss have a big game on Sunday.
Doug Peterson just said that he has all the confidence in J.J. Arcega-Weiss' side on Sunday. Let me quote Nikolai Koloff from Rocky IV. It's all lies and false propaganda.
Nikolai Koloff was his manager?
Yeah.
Oh, that was his name?
I think so. I think that's
interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
That's obscure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he picked him of all people.
Yeah.
Well, Monday is either going to be a day filled with hope and promise, or if the Eagles lose to the Bengals and the Phillies don't win these next three and get in the playoffs, I will have to start a new diet, a new exercise program, and pick up learning the guitar, because I'll have nothing else to do.
Well, think of us. Starting next week, it's Godfather Radio.
Yeah, Mike McMahon got a raw deal here in Philly. I think he didn't have a good support cast. They could have coached him a little better, maybe, you know, change the offense to utilize his strengths.
Yeah.
No, he said Mike McMahon was good.
He said, I didn't hear the Mike McMahon part. He said Mike McMahon was good. Listen, man, I don't want to, like, rip the guy. He made it all the way to the NFL and a pretty good college career. He was horrendous. He was worse than, like, for his sample, like, he was worse than Bobby Hoying. There was Pat Ryan, who was just a schleb at that time with it, Brad Gable.
But those were scrappy guys.
They were just survival guys that they had to go to.
This is Dave from Center City. If I may, some hyperbole, a short sonnet for you, if you will. Now, I have artistic ability in terms of the I am. Perhaps one would say the number one artist on your show. Your comments, sir.
Amazing! That's so good!
That's a great invitation to Dave. If you will. He does that all the time. That's awesome, man.
I used to think Carson would be remembered as the all-time greatest Eagles quarterback. Now I fear he'll just be remembered as an all-time cutting-edge fashion icon.
That's a response to that moron who critiqued him for the backwards hat on a Zoom call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There ain't no way I won't see D'Antonio here or Tyrone Luke. Now, your buddy Gargano,
who?
He says that D'Antonio should be the Sixers coach because he's a good X and O's guy. I don't see that a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, come Italian names always the ones that get disrespected the most.
Well, so did the black name.
Wow,
he went Tyrone Lue.
Oh, he went Tyrone Lue?
He goes D'Antonio.
D'Antonio. What is that? A lot of people have been saying D'Antonio.
We're gonna blow this if he gets the job. He's going to go right in there with everybody else. We'll never get that name right.
No. Well, man, there's no O. Every time you're going to have an O? All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of summer. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got
enough
beef?
I don't like
them.
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound dog gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
All right, two things. The new Draft Line show is coming up tonight following this show from 6 to 7 with Jamie Lynch, Devon Gibbons, brought to us by DraftKings. And don't forget the Big Fanatic pregame show on Sunday. Devon Gibbons, Brian Westbrook, Derek Gunn, live from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. 10-1, get you ready for Birds and Bengals. I got the Eagles winning the game. I got them covering the game. Tyrone?
I have the Bengals winning 28-27.
Natalie?
I'm going to go Eagles 24, Bengals 16.
All right. Sounds good. Stay tuned for NBC Sports Philly with the Phillies pregame show. Everybody have a safe and a fun weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.